The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, before you get into the show, which I know you're super excited to hear because every fucking show of Thinking Outside the Long Box is amazing, we want to thank our Patreon supporters, Chad, Ryan, Derek, Doyle, Devin, Taylor, Jason, Steve, and now Christine. Thank you so much for being a part of this show by donating to us on Patreon. If you too would like to support this show and keep it going every other week after every other week, then you can go to patreon.com/TOTLB where you can get your choice of all sorts of cool bonus videos and awesome prizes like hats and t-shirts, original sketches. I don't know if you guys follow Tim Husky's artwork on Instagram, but one of those original sketches got colored and it was fucking amazing. So join us today at patreon.com/TOTLB. And to those of you who are already subscribed, thank you so much. We appreciate you more than our own assholes. In the year 2018, several dipshits sat around a table talking into microphones, and this is their year-end wrap-up, where we're pretty sure Rihanna did not get beat up this year.
Porn doesn't count.
All right.
Back Before Betty's 18 was classic.
So Mike Murray posted this thing on his page that was like about the movie Waiting, and the cast says like Ryan Reynolds, and then it says Ron Jeremy and Lloyd Kaufman. He's like, there's no way that's right. I'm like, that's absolutely right. Both of those guys are in that movie. He's all, what part does Ron Jeremy play?
I don't know.
He's just a random customer.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But I went to his like IMDb page thinking to myself, okay, I'm going to look up like what he's credited as. Dude, it's just like Big Ass Titties 19, like Spider-Man versus Gwen Stacy Triple X. Like, of course. It's like, oh, they put all of those in here too. It was crazy. Yeah,
that's a movie credit.
It is a movie credit. It just caught me off guard that IMDb would like consolidate like Ron Jeremy as an actor in all of his pornos. So it took me forever to find what he was in Waiting.
I feel like
Where are your real movies?
I feel like if anything, the women really have to sell it as actors when they're with him. Jesus.
Oh, man. So yeah.
They like the big cock.
Yeah. Is it? I don't remember.
He's got a legendary big penis.
Oh, supposedly.
Right. That's the whole reason he made it in the industry in the first place.
He's gross.
Yeah, he's gross.
He himself is disgusting.
He has like, when I think of like dad bod, like when like comedians like try to describe gross dad bodies, I immediately think of Ron Jeremy.
Definitely, he was the first porno that I saw where I thought to myself, "Oh, someday I'll be able to have sex with women."
I can do that.
I mean, if they'll do him. Hey, everybody. Welcome to our 2018 year in wrap-up.
So you're saying there's a shot.
Thinking outside the long box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Tim.
I'm Doyle.
AC.
Juan.
AC's here to class it up.
I literally get a message from Gabe's like, can AC come so we can sound intelligent?
Yeah, because otherwise you went to the wrong guy.
So the way we have done our year-end wrap-ups for the last 5 years now, this is our fifth annual one, even though we've only been out for 4 years. Because we started in like
at the end of the
year.
Yeah,
we started at the end of the year.
Right.
You're right.
So we're going to go over.
You're right.
I know. We're going to go over.
Just shout it a few more times.
I knew.
We're going to go over 6 different categories, our favorites from 2018 in movie, TV, comic book, trailer, pop culture classic that we watched this year, and then, of course, our old man pick is our favorite thing from 1998. That was 20 years ago, which is weird to think about.
Matthew Broderick Godzilla. That's one of my least favorite things in 1998.
I know, I already chewed him out for
I tried to troll Gabe. He just was not having it earlier this morning.
All right, so we should start with what? Maybe the least important one?
the trailer. That's usually about where we start. Okay. We're going this way because Juan probably doesn't have anything written down. Let's start with Tim. Tim, what was your favorite trailer from this year?
My favorite trailer from this year was the most recent Avengers Endgame trailer. I'll probably watch that like a million times. It's probably the first trailer I've actually watched in slow-mo, like an Uber nerd, to see if there's anything I'm missing.
Paul Rudd is sexy.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd is pretty sexy.
He is a handsome man.
New trailer does nothing for me.
Me neither. I liked it because it's an Avengers trailer, because of its secrecy, it has to be
it's so vague and
your choice disappoints me.
Right? Well,
your opinion is wrong, Tim.
It's vague and it's dark, and I like that.
I also like that NASA had to put out a press release
that said,
please stop sending us messages to save Mr. Stark. Like, he's not real. We have work to do.
We're trying to put people on Mars, damn it. Leave us alone.
My favorite part of that...
Elon Musk.
My favorite part of that is I heard you say NASCAR, not NASA. I was like,
going to save no spaceman. Yeah. It ain't my goddamn fault that he broke God's law and went into space.
We do two things. We drive fast and we turn left.
We drink beer all at once. Oof. Right? That's how NASCAR works,
yeah,
right? Okay.
Yeah, those hydration packs.
Fans from the south.
I mean, that's how it started, really.
Why? That's true. I was telling that to Ashton that... NASCAR started as bootleggers racing each other. Now my car's faster, goddammit. Prove it. Let's drive in a circle.
Think we can fill our shit with a bunch of flammable liquid? Probably. Probably.
Boom.
Poor John Still.
Oh, did he send us?
God rest his soul.
He didn't send us anything, that bastard.
He's because he's busy.
You flew here and you can't send an email. That's a little weird.
Oh, man. Damn. All right, how about you, Doyle?
So it was Deadpool 2 because of the whole, like, fake you out thing. The fact that, like, the trailer's not the fucking movie.
Classic.
Like, I love the audacity of that.
That was some quality misdirection.
As far as, like, excitement goes for a movie that I haven't seen yet and I'm sure is terrible, is Immortal Engine, just because it looks sick as fuck. Yeah. And it has a lot of nostalgic value to me.
Right.
So I'm excited to see that movie, and I hope it's not terrible, but I think it's Immortal Engines.
Where do you get the nostalgia from? Did you have
Mad Max.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about that story that just like...
You grew up on an RV.
It's
familiar,
right? It's a comic or an anime or something. Like,
I feel like it's an anime or something.
I feel like
Howl's Moving Castle or something like that.
A long time ago.
A little bit of that, but I feel like I've seen something like that. Because I had the same thing where I was like, is this a book?
Yeah, it reached out to my inner child of some kind.
Yeah, Giant Cities on Wheels is pretty fun to watch, though.
That eat other cities?
Yeah.
To become yet bigger cities? It's just...
cities.
It makes sense.
It is kind of a little Mad Maxian. It does kind of... Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of
that. I like
that.
How we just coined that phrase.
Mad Maxian.
Mad Maxian. I like it.
All right, Stacey's turn.
Oh, it was a book. I had to have read this book.
Me too.
Because...
You didn't read shit.
Dude, I read a lot more than you do.
I didn't say you. I was looking at him.
I read less than him, but I do read. And listen to things audibly a lot.
When did the book come out?
Oh, let me go back to and that. What was it called?
First novels in Philip Reeves' quartet of the same name. The book focuses on futuristic steampunk version of London. Originally published 2001, series Mortal Engines Quartet. I have read this. And that is why.
I'm wondering if Steve read it and was telling me about it or something. Because it doesn't sound familiar, but I know I've heard of it.
Once I saw Philip Reeve and then Mark, yeah, I read this. Or I might have listened to it, but I'm not sure.
They're the same thing.
Yeah. One takes knowledge and the other doesn't, but agreed.
No, you gotta know how to pick a book on Audible.
It's true. The narration is very important.
You have to push buttons and stuff.
Yeah. And pay them.
Dude, it is, man.
You do have to pay.
Because there's
them.
Two different versions of Harry Potter audiobooks. And one of them has, what's the English guy's name? Stephen Fry?
Mm-hmm.
Now, dude, bad narration will straight ruin a good book.
Yeah, he's fucking good.
Audible.
So, yeah, really quick on that before I... talk about the other thing that we're actually supposed to answer.
This is why AC's here.
To go on tangents.
It's going to ground us.
So, Stephen King, Dark Tower Books. the audio.
Hey, fuck Stephen King.
Regardless of what he's like now,
fuck that guy.
He did some great stuff before, and I like that he gives certain political figures crap all the time. It makes me happy. But he wrote The Dark Tower, 7 books. I think it's like 8.5 books now. Yeah. But the narration for the first 3 was a friend of his, and that guy was awesome. And he did not have a problem with, like, if he was doing a female character, he would just kind of raise his register a little bit.
A female voice-ish.
Yeah, ish, without like, hi, my name is blah, blah, blah. It's just sort of like, and then the gunslinger said to whatever her name is, well, gunslinger, you know, it just...
It's a little bit up as opposed to...
I feel like you're taking fucking auditions. You need to start taking jobs.
Well.
It moved. Turgid.
Then the guy pulled a Mark Hamill Billy Idol and like got in a motorcycle accident, wrecked his vocal cords, and they had to replace him with someone who really did not like... He emphasized, hi, I'm a female character and you have to talk like Mickey Mouse. And it just kind of took me out of it for the next 4.5 books. So it's
I was listening to Harry Potter not too long ago, but I didn't want to pay for it. So I was listening to a lot of like 15-year-olds on YouTube.
Man. If you're not on a, if you're
poor
not
man's
a,
so audible.
Yes, I understand. It can fuck up the whole.
No, poor man's audible is just reading it your goddamn self.
See, now you're on a watch list for looking at kids. Come on,
it's
man.
It's on YouTube.
Man, I know what they're doing.
Well, and to answer the real question, like, what trailer am I excited for? I mean, they're finally doing a Transformers movie since the animated movie. It's like the first one since You've Got the Touch. I'm so excited about that. It actually looks, I don't know, I'm kind of happy about it. The director did Kubo, I think he was the one that did Kubo and the Two Strings. So he's a guy that knows how to tell a story. So, you know,
Bumblebee, you're talking about.
Bumblebee, yeah.
I've heard it's getting some good reviews already. It's already screened for some people.
It actually looks like a Transformers movie. I saw the newest trailer for it, like at, dude, I think we were at like Buffalo Wild Wings or something weird like that. I was like, oh, what's that bright, cool looking? Oh, am I interested in a Transformers trailer? This is weird.
With fucking John Cena in it?
Yeah. You didn't see him, right? But
I feel like
you know he's there.
Getting to be a little bit of a better actor, to be totally honest.
He was really hilarious.
He couldn't become a worse actor.
He was funny in Daddy's Home and Daddy's Home 2. Like,
I didn't see Cock Blockers.
That movie where he's
fucking... Cock Blockers is fucking funny as
shit. The movie where he's a drug dealer, and he's only in that for like 10 minutes. But
if that.
That was hilarious as well.
He's getting a lot of bigger roles lately. And I agree, Bumblebee looked really good, and it's getting a lot of good reviews for the people who've seen it so far.
I'm excited. I mean, I heard some guy did some really high-budget fanfic with some piles of trash moving around a few years ago, and, you know, I guess they made money, but they finally decided to actually, you know, go with the franchise, and that's got me excited.
I've heard it's the most accurate description of the Michael Bay Transformers films I've ever heard.
Yeah, I definitely don't own any of them.
And by any of them, he means I own all of them.
I do. I agree, they're not good.
I mean, there's 10 minutes of Optimus Prime kicking someone's ass per movie, and I would have paid the full price just for that.
I've said it before, yeah, you could do the 15-minute Transformer movie, I go pay money. Robots fight robots, I leave.
Yeah.
But they keep putting Mark Hamill in the son of a bitch or something. Or not Mark Hamill. Marky Mark.
Mark
Wahlberg. It'd be sweet if Hamill was in it. But he's not.
But
fucking Luke is fighting Transformers.
His, like, Batman villains, not.
Comes out of the
throwing Transformers around with the Force.
It comes out as the Joker, though.
Just got squashed immediately.
That shit would be fucking weird.
It's a big tangent.
The Joker talking while he has Force powers and shit. That'd be weird.
I'd watch that.
Then he does.
That oddly relates to somehow what we were talking about at work the other night. It would be funny if Vin Diesel made a movie where all of his franchise badasses fought each other. Like Toretto's fighting fucking Triple X. Triple X is fighting Riddick.
Riddick. Then the Iron Giant just sees his giant foot just squash.
Like Terry Gilliam.
Iron Giant fights Groot, all the voice actor parts.
Riddick's like, I got no family. Toretto's like, it's about family.
When they get squashed, it makes the Monty Python sound.
Dude, Cobra Commander was in an episode of Transformers. He was in one episode. Like, he wore like a Rorschach-type suit, so you couldn't tell exactly from the suit, but his mask was hiding his face, and it was the same voice. Plus, I mean, he was already on there doing Starscream. But he's like, terrorists, they don't make them like they used to.
It's weird.
That was one of the coolest crossovers I saw as a kid. I'm like, oh my god, the same universe.
I remember when a G.I. Joe bled for the first time in the G.I. Joe movie, and I was like, they can bleed.
But they didn't have the balls to kill him, because that was right after Optimus Prime died, and they're like, Duke's in a coma. That's bad.
We don't want kids to leave this movie crying.
Well,
it's your turn.
For me, Captain Marvel was probably the best trailer for me. It's because it feels, even though it's a regression because it's a prequel, it feels like a progression of where we're going. Whereas Avengers seemed very vague. There was not really much to the Avengers trailer to me.
Is it because she punches an old woman in the face?
It was amazing. Awesome. That was probably the coolest. And then in the second trailer, you get to see her actually whoop the old lady's ass. Yeah. That's cool, too.
I'm so excited for that scene.
I'm excited for Coulson.
I don't think I've seen this preview.
For Coulson to come back. So even though he hasn't shown up in the trailers yet, I'm excited to see him come back because I've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. religiously and nobody knows he's around. Well, I guess they won't know because it's a prequel, but I'm excited to see more of him. They did a fucking amazing job. I saw a side-by-side of Samuel Jackson from like 20 years ago versus how he looks in that movie, and they did a really, really fucking good job on that. So I don't think it'll pull me out of the movie.
Yeah, it's sort of like Kurt Russell, you know, in Guardians of the Galaxy. The de-aging was great on him, but then you look at Tron, and I love Tron, man, but big butt on that one. The de-aging for Flynn and Tron is just like,
He was really young. Like, they de-aged him a lot, but the Robert Downey Jr. and I in
Civil War
looked funky. That looked weird to me. Like, you could tell there was, what the fuck's going on with his face? Like, something was weird, but the Samuel L. Jackson looks really good. I'm excited to see it. It's the whole movie is from what I know.
It's pretty interesting, like, how good they've gotten at that. Like, even when you think about Grand Moff Tarkin in the Star Wars.
Just as a hologram?
Yeah, like, as, like, a complete person.
I've wondered if they ever just thought about doing it. Well, with him, they can't because he's dead. With just makeup. Do you remember Surrogates?
Yeah.
They take everybody back, like, 10 years, and, like, you can tell it's makeup, but it still looks
good.
Better than most of the animation tries.
I mean, I think it probably costs less.
Well, they younged up Gandalf in the Hobbit movies.
Yeah, they did.
And I think that was just makeup. I mean, he's an old motherfucker. He's still an old motherfucker at that point, but
for some reason, digital shit costs.
I mean, it takes way more time, time on set.
I think they probably end up having to pay the actors a lot more to be on set longer.
Could be, because I know it's like 8 hours of fucking makeup and shit.
And the actor probably doesn't want to go through 10 hours of makeup, I would assume, you know?
I just brought up a movie fucking nobody seen, too.
What movie?
Surrogates.
Oh, yeah, I saw it like forever ago. This movie.
Me and you, probably. Maybe AC.
Not
even AC.
No.
It's one of Bruce Willis's lesser-known films.
Oh, yeah. It's weird. Like, it's
it is weird.
Not good.
It's like Matrix in the real world, kind of.
Oh, yeah. Now I wish I'd seen it, but
no, nope, you don't.
No,
it's not as bad as he's making it.
It's like
great.
They're all plugged into the Matrix, like in chairs and shit. But they all have like
everybody. Like everybody has a robot.
Yes. Okay, I have seen that movie actually. Though.
I remember the trailer now.
And then it's got at the end.
There's like one badass scene where his surrogate goes like all Terminator mode, and he's chasing a bad guy, and that's about it.
I do remember.
Wait. No, I have seen this movie.
See?
Coming back.
And at the end, they kind of wake everybody
it's
up.
It's super forgettable as far as like...
Yeah.
It's like Equilibrium. Super forgettable.
Oh, don't say that. He sliced the guy's face off.
The best part about these episodes is everybody stepping on everybody else's toes. Like, you know what I fucking hate? Oh, I love that!
I own Equilibrium. I still like it. But
Jason Wells said,
did I not get to go?
Oh, you didn't go. I'm sorry.
Nah, fuck Gabe.
I'm sorry, my bad.
I'm just going to read off what everybody else
didn't
is.
Go first.
Fuck Gabe. So my favorite trailer is like a total no-brainer. And I think last year my favorite trailer was effectively the same thing. Yeah. My favorite trailer of this year is hands down Godzilla 2. Like, dude, it looks so
that's the one with,
fucking good. Rodan, honestly, Mothra, King Ghidorah.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I thought the teaser was better, but the trailer is good. No, the music in the teaser is dope as fuck.
The teaser. Tim has said this a couple times. The teaser is just like...
It's beautiful.
Beautiful cinematography. Yeah. Like, it's amazing. But it's
fucking gorgeous.
Dude, the kaiju in the...
They look dope. They look sweet.
Sick as shit. And it looks so much better than... I mean, it's just going to be pure monster action, and I'm super stoked.
There's already pictures of...
Godzilla and King Kong.
Yes. Yeah. I can't remember. What the fuck is the girl's name?
Millie Bobby Brown.
She's the one who will be in both. But,
fucking doesn't die, I guess.
Spoilers!
Yeah, she doesn't die. Unless she's a ghost or some shit.
Probably not.
I'm hoping she's the one that controls Mothra, because that's cool.
Mothra! I need to reach out to Jason.
Yes, please.
Jason Lyon.
Oh my gosh. We definitely need to sing it to him like we're calling Mothra to get him.
And he's
on the
middle. He's the middle head, right?
I think
he's
Rodan, I think.
Is he Rodan also?
Part of King Ghidorah and Rodan or something like that.
King Ghidorah just looks like he should fuck Godzilla up, but...
Well, yeah, dude, he does fuck Godzilla up
I believe, besides the stupid-ass fucking Godzilla with Matthew Broderick, I believe this is the first time Godzilla's run.
Yes.
In that preview.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Godzilla can move. he's like an O-lineman. or a dwarf.
I think that's a football joke. Yeah. Dwarves move fast.
Yeah,
man.
Dude, very dangerous over short distances.
Oh, man, you are full of the references today. That's amazing.
I think Legolas had to carry him for a while, didn't he?
Yeah, they're not good long distance runners.
No good in cross country.
Not the beard.
All right, now we got people.
Yes, there's people, a few of them.
Sweet.
Oh fuck! Now I got to get back there.
Damn it.
Well, he got me all flustered. Jason Wells said Captain Marvel.
Nice.
Larry G. Campbell said Deadpool 2. I got to pull from a few different places.
Can we get any from John?
No. That's
son of a bitch. Sorry, John's
John. John's is easier. All the answers are going to be Aquaman.
Yeah.
We're just going to say that
Aquaman.
For him.
Yeah.
Favorite movie, Aquaman.
All right, so while he's
actually saw Aquaman.
He did.
Screening.
Yeah, I posted about that.
Shocker. He loved it.
Don said he was crying from the opening credits until it ended.
One might even say it made him wet.
Yeah.
So I got... While
that's
he's
a cum joke.
Up, so my wife, she...
My wife.
She picked for trailer Holmes and Watson. She thinks it's
that
hilarious.
Movie does look funny.
And it has Braun Strowman in it. So we were in the movie theater getting ready to watch Bohemian Rhapsody. And Braun Strowman comes on screen, and my wife just screams at the top of her lungs, "Braun!" and like scares the shit out of the dude in front of us. So that was pretty awesome. And then Hannah, we quizzed Hannah, and Hannah's pick for her favorite trailer this year was Axel, the movie about the robotic dog.
Yeah.
She actually really enjoyed the movie because she's 7 and it's made for her.
A lot of dog movies this year. Wasn't there like Alpha and Axel? And
Alpha looks kind of cool. I haven't watched it.
It's another top-rated movie of the year.
It's on Amazon Prime right now, and I tried to convince Hannah to watch it, but she's like, I don't want to. I want to watch Wreck-It Ralph again. And I was like, we just watched that like 3 times.
She'd be like, yeah, we'll watch it. Oops, Alpha.
It's not working, honey.
We've reached our pause limit for the month.
Oh my god, I need to start telling her that.
I thought I had one on Twitter, but I'll find that later. On Instagram, I think it's Sean, said Aquaman.
And that's his name on Instagram. Okay. It's not Juan saying, I think it's Sean. It's like his Instagram name.
Might be Sean.
_ it's _ Sean.
Hopefully you're Sean.
That's actually kind of genius. Like, if you were like a A-list celebrity. You just make an Instagram that's like totally low key.
I think I'm John Cena.
John Cena underscore maybe.
Can't see him. John Cena underscore question mark.
Right? It's just pictures of scenery.
or pictures of the set.
Yes.
Like without him on it.
Like digitally removed. Ringside, but nobody's in there.
That needs to be John Cena's personal assistant's job. To take pictures.
You can do all kinds of things with John Cena.
Is about to be.
You can do
or was.
You can do a Where is Waldo book with Cena, except he's just not actually in any of the photos.
Frustrate children.
People are like, I can't see him.
Oh my god, I just had to choke my coffee down right there.
The shitty thing is they're going to do it and we're not going to get any credit. I
know. Oh man.
Give him the idea.
Get on it, Tim.
Come on up. AC and I will draw it.
That'd be amazing.
That's copyright infringement, I think.
You're like, I can tell that's him.
No, you got to do just like a Where's John C, not Cena, and then have like one picture of
a cartoon John Cena in the front. So.
I think you found the loophole.
Don't even have to credit him. And it's easy to draw because you just draw everything that's not John Cena.
Dude, you could totally do this.
Oh god, yeah.
You guys could make a lot of money at this.
Maybe we'll put a play on words.
See a parody on professional wrestling. That's how you. And it's just pictures of wrestling stuff.
Trying to think of how we can play on his name. Like, have you seen a John? I don't know.
Ooh. Have you seen a John?
It's pretty good for this early.
I'm all right.
All right. Did you find it?
No, I'll keep looking. Right. If I find it, I'll catch us up again.
Sweet. So we're going to take a quick little break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about our favorite TV shows of the year.
Castlevania.
That is
Castlevania.
Minor spoiler.
Hey, this is Jason Lyles, George from Rampage, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Except your hands are so tiny, you get both balls as you strike.
And we're back.
Okay, so we've been Michael Kirk was...
From the grave, people. Michael Kirk.
From the grave.
Do you think on the seance episode we can get Michael Kirk involved?
Yeah, where he's like just sitting there.
He's like, guys, I'm not dead.
Shit's realistic as fuck.
Did you hear that?
Okay, he says, best trailer was Shazam. At first I was hesitant about this movie, but after watching that amazing trailer, I can't wait to see it.
It was a good trailer.
And then Dom sent us a voicemail that I'll play at some point in this episode, but he also said Avengers 4 trailer.
Nice.
After ridiculing us for the awesome coasters. Which is what he does.
Dom is a prick. What are we... Oh, TV show. So, this segment is our TV show segment. Let's start with Doyle this time.
Oh, all right.
We'll go around.
Put on the spot.
I have a list.
Give him have a plan of action next time. It's not fucking confusing.
This one was hard because I think I have like a, you know, just a general like top five of things I enjoyed pretty equally. But Altered Carbon, I think, wins out for my favorite show.
Awesome. Fuck yeah.
That was a book that I listened to as well. And the book was really, really good. And then the sequel is so different and in such a completely different like space, and like it's in space.
It's like Ender's Game
novel, and it's
in Xeno's side.
Yeah,
those books are not the same thing.
Exactly. Like it was so different that I had a really hard time getting into the second novel. So I'm really interested to see what the second season of Altered Carbon is like. So that's a good choice, though. That show is fucking cool as shit.
I didn't get into it. I need to re.
And I should have said Ender's Game Speaker for the Dead, because Xenocide's way later. And also very different.
Way different.
But I'm surprised you didn't like it.
No, I don't. I don't think that I didn't like it. I just don't think that it's one of those shows that I have to sit because of how the plot is. Because he's like in, isn't it like he's in real life and then he's in somebody else's body?
That happens for the first few episodes. It calms down a little bit.
That was confusing to me. And if I'm not really paying attention, then I'll just stop and then I'll have to come back to it.
One thing that was weird too is in the show that's not in the book as much is a lot of the flashback stuff. Yeah. I could see how that could get a little muddled because in the flashback, obviously he's Takeshi Kovacs, you know, and he's like an Asian dude. And then in the current time, he's Takeshi Kovacs, white guy.
Yeah.
Like, remember all the uproar that was, you know, like how they get all pissed up?
2018.
Yeah. People get all pissed off. Why isn't an Asian playing him? That's like the whole fucking point of the show.
It's like the height of whitewashing movement.
Yeah.
Why is he white? He's supposed to be. I don't care.
That's the plot. Iron Fist. Yeah.
Why is this white guy being Iron Fist? Well,
because he's white.
That's the story.
It all started. Why is Trump the president? Fuckers.
Let's ask more important questions.
Let's worry about the real issue.
Remember, it was like even with Scarlett Johansson and Ghost in the Shell,
that's
like,
what I was getting.
She got the fucking movie made, assholes. Like, she championed it. Without her, there wouldn't be a fucking movie. So yeah, she gets to be in it.
Plus, the original director of the anime was totally okay with Scarlett Jo as
and it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, because she looks like the character in the anime.
Yes, because anime characters don't look Asian; they're drawn to look more Western.
It's because the Disney influence. That's, yes, we bombed
except
them
for
and
the
gave
dirty
them Disney.
Ones. They get a little Asian-ier in the dirty ones.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're like, no, these are our women being monsters.
They slant the eyes a little more. That's all I'm saying.
Damn.
It's hard to keep your eyes open when you're being raped by tentacles.
Oh. Yes. Strangely enough, in hentai porn, all the genitalia is pixelated, just like in regular Asian porn.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
It's like the weirdest thing because their porn is so much nastier and like violent than ours.
Isn't that the point of porn is to see genitals?
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like,
so it's
like,
against the law to see the genitals?
But whatever else, do it.
I wonder how they draw the genitals. Like,
no, they draw it. Like, that's the thing is, like, they draw it or they film it, and then the state censors go in and, like, censor it out. It's the weirdest thing.
So weird. I thought the tentacles were supposed to be because you couldn't use a penis. So
yes,
they were like,
so that's part
octopi
of it.
Everywhere.
That's part of it, but they... But
half octopus, half demon is railing 95 chicks in all three holes, but you can't see the vagina.
Pretty much. That's... Yes.
Why is that midget in the background doing nothing, surprisingly?
Powering up.
Yeah.
I'm level 9,999.
You shut your whore fucking mouth, all right? That's a good show.
No, it's not.
There's a lot of fucking...
Are we arguing about DBZ again?
Yeah.
What movie?
He's getting a lot of excitement.
What
the
movie?
The DBZ Broly.
Oh, I mean, like, the same shit again? Just reanimated?
Yeah, pretty much.
I just don't get why they do that.
They brought it into canon. This is a new... It's not the same... I mean, it's the same characters, but...
It's the same.
It's the same. What'd you say?
Oh, that's going to be so easily edited out.
You can say Avengers 4 is the same.
Well, yeah, but...
I just feel like it's a bunch of blonde guys fighting each other.
Named Chris.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing about Dragon Ball Z. You can hop in the very first Dragon Ball show, or hop in at Dragon Ball Z, and you don't need to know what happened. Because there's like 600 episodes
besides
of the same bullshit.
Their mentor was a pedophile / misogynist. Goku's a terrible father. And... Gohan has a really sad story. DBZ's not for kids.
I think Goku realizes he's a bad father at some point, though.
Maybe. He just keeps squirting him out, though.
On this episode of Getting Deep on Dragon Ball.
He only has two kids, doesn't he?
We're going down on
no,
balls
he has
today.
Three.
Gohan, go 10.
I don't like this show, and I know more about it. I just know when I really like broke it down after watching it, I was like... Shows just a lot of bad life choices.
I'm just saying that there's a lot of fanfare for the new movie.
There are.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
People do like
it.
It
is a very popular show.
I have not figured out why yet, but.
It's like a slow. Oh, shit, he's right behind me.
It's like.
Sprinting for 10
every
yards.
Every time they power up.
Best
it's
jump cut, by the way.
Roller thing,
it's like.
But it is, and that he's just screaming, ah! Yeah, that big fucking pavement roller for like 3 solid minutes.
I feel like once you get to the Frieza fight, he has a bunch of his like Artard friends who aren't that strong anymore.
Artard?
I didn't want to say the real word.
Oh.
And they can't.
Because somehow Artard is better.
Yeah. I didn't know what he said.
He literally took one letter out of the word. It's like when a shirt says F*UK, like you know what that means.
Man, one of them's 4 feet tall and bald. Kremlin sucks. Can barely see what they're doing. They're so fast. The spirit bomb is the slowest fucking thing in the world, and Frieza can't avoid it.
It was like the whole planet, bro.
Oh, it wasn't even that big.
Huge.
Small moon.
Right, well,
that's no moon.
The entire time I was gone, they just bickered about Dragon Ball Z. All right, AC, what was your favorite TV show this year?
Pooch. Stop it.
Are you allergic really? Or something?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I love dogs, and I love cats. I have cats, and I'm just all my friends have dogs, so I'm allergic to everything.
His eyes are going to shut on his way home, and it's going to be our fault.
I'll figure it out. I've got some Claritin in the car. I'll be all right.
I got some
crack cocaine in the car.
There are different names for it.
Potato, potato.
A little nosedive at this
potato
red light.
Potato methamphetamine.
Wait, so are we on? Is it a TV show?
Oh, yeah. We've been recording.
I was like, oh, because I could play there forever. Castlevania. Castlevania was my favorite thing this year. Like, I loved Altered Carbon. There's a ton of good stuff this year.
No, Castlevania is the Garth Ennis animated show on Netflix. Animated. Yeah.
Produced by Adi Shankar, who also did the Dread movie. Also did the fake Power Rangers movie where they're all like crackheads and prostitutes and murderers.
Oh, dude, that thing was amazing.
It was. That guy has like an amazing track record.
Dark.
I thought you were talking about the real Power Rangers movie because that was terrible.
Yep.
That movie was dark.
I mean, they could have been meth dealers in it. I never saw it. I don't know. But yeah, he's got quite a resume backing him up there. He likes cool shit, and then he makes shows out of it. And I guess the next one they're doing is Devil May Cry. But Castlevania.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my God. As like the... how do I put this? Thorin Oakenshield from The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, I think. He voice acted, or his actor also did the voice for Trevor Belmont. And I used to know who did Alucard, but I don't know. Anyway, their voices are so freaking sexy in this anime. I was like, I'm like looking at my wife, look, you know I'm straight, but, but Hector and Isaac, like...
TV.
Every
two.
I was like, I think we need to go upstairs, baby.
Because this cartoon turning me off.
The way they're insulting each other ruthlessly, like, I love it.
Play the show. Don't talk.
It's going to be on my phone on the pillow next to your face. Actually, just turn it over your face. So I can watch it while I do my things.
And I'm sure, like, after the first episode came out, there was slash fic with Hector and Isaac and just all kinds of stuff. Immediate. Because, I don't know, the vocal quality on that was so good. The production values on the art, on the animation, the final battle, and fuck spoilers. Like, if you haven't seen it by now, hurry up.
It's your own fault.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Fuck those people.
Exactly. The Alucard Dracula fight at the end. The physics on that, like in a lot of cartoons, in fact, in a lot of CGI, a lot of movies, someone will punch someone and there's no, I mean, the other person will go flying and they might like bounce off a wall and the physics look completely fake. They don't look realistic. If you threw a baseball across your room, you know what that looks like. And some of us have been maybe less reasonable in our responses to things and thrown crap across our room. So we know.
No.
If I threw a baseball across my room, I'd get a belt across my face.
I've definitely never broken a door in half. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, I'm still getting belted across the
face. Alicia's like, get over here.
I told you not to throw shit.
I'm sorry.
Where'd you get that chocolate?
But God, yeah, it's just the physics was impressive. I mean, they kind of look like two cats fighting. Like it was that fast and that realistic in the movements. Like they must have, you know, taken somebody's pet and put the little dots on them before they recorded them for their golem type shit. But no, it was just every aspect, the music, the animation, the voice acting, like
how cats fight.
The stylistic beauty of the show in every part of it was just like everything I loved about the game. Because the games, like, yeah, the first ones were kind of basic, but yeah. Oh,
dude, that's the most important part. Dude, so I've only had the chance to watch the first season.
Did you ever play the game, the real game?
No.
Yeah, I was like, there's no way.
I've only had a chance to watch the first season, right? Mm-hmm. But that moment where they're in the clock tower and it's falling apart and they're having to jump from gear to gear, I literally said out loud to my wife as we're watching it, I fucking hate that level.
Right?
Like, it's just, it's so perfectly tied in to the game. Like, and it's really, it was really cool. So it's I can't wait to see the second one.
Yeah, it's a level of fan appreciation for the source material that I haven't seen since Watchmen. Honestly, that was so dedicated to what it came from until, you know, you replace a squid with a naked blue guy. Barring that, it's that level of obsessive compulsive attention to detail and pulling out all the things that as a fan of the game you would remember fondly or not fondly, like some of those terrible levels. But
I remember it fondly. It was just awful.
That level sucked. The rest of the game was great.
Dude, those games were hard. I don't think I ever actually beat one. I know I beat two and three.
We said before they used to make games.
Symphony of the Night.
They didn't used to care if you could beat a game.
At all.
No.
But they do now. It's like
Ghosts and Goblins. I know maybe two people that have beat that game. Like, that game is
relentless. We've talked about Ninja Gaiden before. Steve may have beaten it. That's all we know.
Steve has beaten Ninja Gaiden. I've watched him do it one time.
I got a Game Shark for that one. I had
What kind of sucks about games now is
Super Contra is that way, too.
You can conk out through a game, and you will just inevitably beat it.
Yeah.
The game just, like, carries you through it, no matter what, really.
For the most part, yeah.
And, like,
that's because games now, though, are way more plot-driven.
Yeah.
Like, so you have a story that, to enjoy the game fully, you have to complete the story. Whereas before, like, Super Contra didn't have a story.
You're a guy with a gun killing a lot of shit.
Shooting stuff. And if you can't shoot all the stuff, tough shit, buddy. Like,
you've got two lives, and you got to hit that reset button. That's
fucking horrible. Dude, those games were hard as shit. Like, console games, like Nintendo, Super Nintendo era were fucking difficult.
But even games with no plot, like fucking Street Fighter, you could barely mow through everybody, and then you'd get to Vega and M. Bison, and they were almost fucking impossible.
You just get fucking raffle stomped, of course.
Psycho upper.
Yeah.
All right, I guess I'm dead now.
Would you hate that too, where you get to like fucking Sagat and you've beaten his ass?
Yeah.
And he's like one little inch of health and you're full and he's just like, all right, it's time to Tiger uppercut your ass to death now.
Tiger.
Yeah.
That's a like, fuck. Those are
my least favorite was Goro on Mortal Kombat.
Oh god.
He grabs you and then hits you with his extra arms. I was like, fuck this noise.
I also hated Goro because Shao Kahn was so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Goro would beat the fuck out of me for 50 times.
He's a good gatekeeper.
I remember watching people play Final Fantasy and it was the same thing. It was you do one hit point, like a move, and then you jump back, and then you'd have to dodge, and then you jump in and hit the final guy one time.
Oh,
and it would take fucking hours to beat this final guy.
Beating Final Fantasy VII, beating Sephiroth, I think the first time I played through that game took me about 2 hours.
It's fucking crazy.
Like,
I remember fighting.
There was definitely pauses for bathroom breaks.
Like, because I remember the boss fight in Final Fantasy X. You can't pause during it, so I would just leave it on my turn and then like go spend the day, come back. PlayStation's like on the verge of like, catching fire. Yeah. So I'm like, I needed a break
because it's been spinning a disc for 9 hours.
What a shitty idea for. And you can't pause it right now. Why, asshole?
You're like, I paid for this game. I need to take a break.
I've had to take a shit for 5 hours.
That's not a problem for you.
Yeah, you just get a bag.
It's just like, where's the bag? His fucking chair has a hole in it.
We're still a bag, not like a bin or nothing.
Well, you don't want to have to clean out a bin. You just throw the bag away.
I feel like Doyle's toilets is still like, it's like a bag. You know, you put a trash can.
It's like a camp chair with a bag underneath it.
I live in a home, you assholes.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you get up and go to the bathroom.
I do.
Sister doesn't like you.
Sometimes she doesn't.
No bathroom for you.
Yeah, she's in there a lot.
She takes shits. Just throwing it out there.
My sister takes big sheets.
Probably.
I'm not going to check.
Don't let Hey, let me see that sheet. It's pretty big.
Let me take a picture.
So wow, extremely
to sell
wild
on
tangent.
The dark web.
TV shows won. Try to rein this back in.
That's weird. You doing it.
Weird, right?
Mine came at the end of the year for us.
It took that long to come?
Yeah, that too.
Oh, actually, it is Origin.
It is Origin. That is the name of the show. We saw you. I actually missed, and I was kind of sad that I didn't get in to sit in on the
panel.
The panel. There you go. Yeah. The press panel at San Diego Comic-Con where they showed the trailer, or was it the first
episode? No, it was like the first like 15 minutes of the first episode or something like that.
Is that YouTube show?
It is.
Yeah. Okay.
It's fucking awesome. If you like horror, space horrors,
I love space horrors.
Bobber Little kind of horror.
Sold.
Fucking Barry White of podcasting over there.
Sold.
I spoke a little bit about it last episode that it reminded me of a lot of the Event Horizon, and it's a fucking awesome
favorite fucking horror movie right there.
Show. It's great. 10 hours. I binged it in 2 nights. It's really good. You don't know what's going on. I can't say more about it. It's
fucking YouTube really Red. Show.
You need YouTube Red to see that one?
Yeah, you do.
Or illegal ways.
Or find it somewhere. I don't condone those actions, but if you, they're out there.
I would never.
You can watch the first two episodes on YouTube for free.
Of course you can.
To kind of to, yeah. get you yeah. in.
Oh, it's like the first crack rock.
First hits freeze. And then I feel like is there a lot of YouTube Red content yet, or is it just that?
There actually is a shitload of YouTube Red content.
That Cobra Kai show was like one of the first ones, and that was really good.
I've only watched a few of them, and I thought they were really funny, but... definitely, if you have not watched the Origin,
with his YouTube
go
Red
fucking watch it. Course.
I have a YouTube Red.
I'm just saying. So does
otherwise,
so does
it's like Origin Episode 1, Part 2. And it's got like Chinese subtitles. But Chinese. Still on YouTube somewhere.
Mine has Ukrainian. I mean,
Ching Chong. I can't reach.
It's great. I don't hear too much about it out in the world. You didn't hear too much. I mean, it wasn't advertised.
I've only actually heard you guys talk about it.
I didn't see any trailers.
And occasionally, I see the preview when I'm watching other shit on YouTube.
It's good.
See it now.
Go watch it for sure. It's really good.
I'll watch it on Tim's YouTube Red. Tim's YouTube Red.
Not Tim's Red Tube, though.
Completely different.
Way less butt plugs on his YouTube Red.
Weirdly enough, Doyle's a Patreon for that, too.
I like to know what he's looking at.
That origin story has a lot of semen.
A lot of semen.
And sailors.
Startling lack of boats, though. Or anything to do with the ocean.
Oh man!
Go watch Origin. It's good. It's really good.
Just don't have
such no idea what it's about. Besides, it's a space horror with Draco Malfoy.
You can't. It's about so at the beginning.
Is he Malfoy in this?
No.
Does he successfully un-Malfoy himself?
Yes. And what's interesting is the fans have not un-Malfoyed him.
Oh, it's never going to happen.
So at the panel, as he was walking away, like a gaggle, like that's the only way to describe them, of like 16 screaming girls
and an old lady
run up to the barricade and are like, Draco, Draco, Draco. And he was like kind enough to like sign all their Harry Potter stuff while he's trying to like promo his
one
new
of them,
project.
One of them would have been me, by the way. So. Yeah. But
he's the Malfoy.
We do confuse you with a screaming young girl sometimes.
And the world is kind of went to shit. And so this one company has found supposedly another planet that could sustain life. And they're giving people with criminal records an opportunity to start fresh as long as they go to this place.
This is a story of Texas.
Or Australia.
Both.
Yeah.
Worked out pretty good for Australia. Not so much
they
Texas.
They have way less gun crime than we do.
But as long as they go to
I
this
feel like
place,
the environment kills off the criminals in Australia.
And mid-flight, because they're sleeping in chambers, because it takes a long time to get
space.
There. Yeah. they get hit with something, and then an alien creature.
It's like reverse kind of takes over reverse somebody. The hundred.
So it's really cool. It's
the hundred. They send them back to Earth. Origin. They send them away from Earth.
It's cool. I'd definitely watch it. If you like horror space kind of movies, it's a really good show.
Yeah. Love
space.
Maybe horror. Malfoy will be better on that than he was on Flash.
I liked him on Flash.
I just felt like he didn't have a purpose.
He did not un-Malfoy himself on Flash.
It was a weird addition and then subtraction.
Yeah, they're like, here he is, and now he's a nice guy, and he leaves. And I was like, that's okay. I mean, it's an arc, but like, does he get powers? Does he, you know, contribute more to the show? He's an antagonist at the beginning, right, which I thought, like, they could go a long way with that. He's perfect for it. He's got that, like, Joffrey Weasley face sometimes, you know, that...
Oh, there's no Joffrey.
Yeah.
Joffrey is probably my single most hated, and I've only watched, like, 2 seasons of that show.
I was so stoked when that prick died.
Yeah, dude, I was like, I have not hated a TV character.
Game of Thrones.
Like this, period.
All you need is the first season and the last one.
It's the death of a child.
It's a freaking telenovela for the rest of it. It's just
The Flash was awesome. The whole Arrowverse. I know we'll get there. No, we're on TV shows actually right now. So the whole Arrowverse.
We just haven't gotten a game.
It's been really good for me. Yeah. I love the Flash. The Flash this last season without an actual speedster villain was really good. Going into Crisis on Infinite Earths next year is going to be fucking amazing.
Yes.
I love the crossovers. Batwoman, unfortunately, for all the hype she got, this one, she wasn't in it enough. She was, like, in it for, like, maybe a combined 10 minutes of the whole crossover. So it was kind of sad.
The suit looked good, though.
But she looked good. Yeah. I thought it was going to be cool, but she just wasn't there enough.
It's probably meant to be more like a, hey, check this out. Okay, bye.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a backdoor. Yeah. But she's not in a backdoor. They've been teasing Crisis on Infinite Earths for a long time in that show now, and I'm fucking stoked for it. So
seeing John Wesley Shipp in the old suit again, I was hoping Mark Hamill would show up just for a minute and go,
the little Easter egg of John Diggle maybe being a Green Lantern. I fucking cannot wait. I love superheroes. The DC's doing so much better on the small screen than they are the big screen.
I would love to see an actual Green Lantern thing that doesn't suck.
Yes.
Yeah.
If we could just do this.
I would be excited for that.
Man, he's fucking space cop. Like, how can it not be good? They make it bad every time.
Said the guy who's a fan of Time Cop.
Yeah, but Time Cop doesn't happen in space.
It happens in time.
Wow. I haven't watched Black Lightning though. I don't know how good or bad that is.
Oh, all right. Black. It's good though. Like the villain.
It's good. It's always says.
Well, I mean, it may be a little It may be a little black for some people. It's the right amount of black for me. Nice. But the villain, Tobias, I'm sorry, I just want to jump on this. Tobias Whale is so good.
That needs to be on a shirt. It's just the right amount of black for me.
It's AC.
AC.
I'll say Tobias is the best part of that. Tobias is the best part of that show.
He is so good. So, yeah, I haven't watched it.
I've heard some good things about it. I just haven't watched it.
It's like DC's version of Daredevil. The consequences are a lot more hard-hitting. Every choice leads to 2 bad paths. No matter what you do, it all comes back to bite you in the ass. And the villain is extremely complex, extremely interesting, multi-layered, and still manages to be that two-dimensional piece of crap that you need to piss you off enough that you want the hero to punch his ass. But Tobias Whale is as good as the Kingpin, as far as I'm concerned.
For me, this was a good year for TV shows. Mr. Mercedes is another fucking one that I touted the whole time I watched it. It's such a good fucking show, too. A Stephen King adaptation. It's just so fucking good.
Has anybody else watched the other Stephen King show that we couldn't remember the name of?
Castle Rock.
I just started it.
Not Stephen King, but Man in the High Castle I started. Another really good show.
That show's pretty great. Yes.
It was a good year for TV, I think, in my opinion.
The show that DC did not kill it on, Krypton.
I heard a lot of people really liked
actually,
it.
I liked that one.
I didn't love it.
I heard a lot of
dude,
people.
Dude, Zod?
The Zod, that is cool, but the Brainiac thing is just...
I think like, season seriously. 2 is coming.
Lobo is going to be in season 2. Lobo and Superman.
My bad.
This is how it starts.
I love DC, and I didn't get into it. I don't know.
I didn't watch it, but I bought it, and I'm like
5 episodes
really
in.
Really good praise.
The first few episodes were a little slow. It has one of the most...
Maybe I just got a... bear through some of it or something.
Dude, when they start hitting the stuff like the hidden doomsday weapon, when they start like, it elevates. It becomes like so much more complicated.
It was not a show that I was interested in because it didn't have Superman in it. It wasn't something that I really wanted to watch. But
it does kind of have.
Well, but I mean, once I started hearing what people were saying about it, it made me a lot more excited to try and get into it. Speaking of Superman, though, Supergirl in Superman and Supergirl, even though he's leaving now, which was a little bit of a consequence in the Elseworlds crossover, he fucking looks he's perfect for fucking Superman, in my opinion. He does a really, really good job. I don't know if you saw I don't know if anybody saw any of the first one, but when Vibe first meets Superman and he takes off his fucking thing to show the S, it was a really cool, powerful moment for me. It was really cool.
I also think the woman new playing Vibe show. He could have his own show. He's too friggin' powerful, honestly.
He's very powerful.
He's super intelligent and can traverse universes. Like, he pretty much could solve all the problems that Barry Allen can't already solve, which should be all of them.
Yes.
Like, that show
on a show where the Flash is more insanely powerful than they make him out to be, also.
It depends on which Flash, but yeah, overall, they're just so...
I mean, any Flash is that character that doesn't, like... I love the Flash comics, but it makes no sense. Like, no one should ever be able to touch him. He should never be in any conflict. He can move so fast he passes through solid material, yet somehow people punch him while he's running by. Let me time this. Huzzah, and my arm didn't snap the fuck off. I reached my hand out of my vehicle at 15 miles an hour once and grabbed a tree. Thought I broke every bone in my fucking arm. Yeah, people punch the Flash as he runs by.
Which, oh man, if you even applied the tiniest bit of physics to that, like, yeah, he would be so deadly as you...
Oh, ridiculous. He'd kill himself, first of all.
Yeah, like...
all the time.
So the Einstein equation, E equals MC squared... Speed is squared. Speed has more of an impact than mass. But as you approach infinite speed, you approach infinite mass. He can hit you with the power of a black hole.
When he's
this guy.
My AC's on the show. Yeah.
Both of us are just kind of looking at each other like, this is the most intelligent this show has ever gotten.
I'm sorry. 4 years.
I only understand what you're saying.
Sorry, no way. That's amazing.
We need you to stay at that level.
All the time. I only understand what you're saying because I've read other similar things about the Flash to this.
Like that when they show him, with one punch after he spins around the Earth and he can hit Darkseid to hurt him, it's like, no. If he wanted to, he could beat the fuck out of Darkseid and go back in time and beat the fuck out of him over and over again. There is no way to stop this guy.
I love that you can impede that kind of an ass whooping on someone. I beat your ass today. I'm going to beat your ass yesterday.
And you'll remember it as this is happening. Like, it's still going on.
He's just been beating my ass since I was born.
So my TV pick was definitely one that I was not expecting to be my TV pick. When I really look back at this year, I didn't watch a ton of TV, especially a lot of full seasons. I would get started on stuff and then just kind of be like, it doesn't really capture my interest, and then I would stop. Where Juan felt like this year for TV was really, really good for him. For me, it was just kind of those are shows. I started Sabrina. It was pretty good. I really enjoyed it, but I haven't finished it. I haven't gone through it.
I really liked
Altered Carbon. I really liked the second season of Luke Cage. But the show that when I really think about the show that stood out the most for me this year, it was The Punisher. I was not expecting it to be nearly as intelligent and nuanced as it was, because Punisher comics aren't.
Yeah. We were watching it together in a room, and the next day he couldn't stop talking about it.
It was good. I really, really dug it. It captured my interest. It prevented me from watching other stuff definitely a few times. If I were to say the thing that I watched the most this year, though, it was definitely Impractical Jokers.
Dude,
that show is my close second for this year. Because
it never disappoints.
It's not a show. It's a group of four friends who go out in public and they do jokes on themselves mostly.
It's punked and candid camera put together.
And then the loser has to do something that the other three people say that he has to do.
It just always makes me laugh. And I can watch the repeats of it without, you know, sometimes I remember what's going to happen, sometimes I don't, and it's on. Like, I was telling Juan, when we went to Colorado Springs, it's like my comfort food when I leave home, because if you are somewhere with cable that has True TV, it's on. Like,
the Impractical Jokers Network.
Yeah, so it's like one of those things when I, like, kind of feel separated from my family, I know I can just put on Impractical Jokers and enjoy it. So
if you like to laugh, I know some people don't like to laugh. That's a good show.
Man, I hate having a good time.
It's fun. I love it because somebody had said, you know, what if there was a time where they had offended somebody by something they do or something like that. But Joe had said it perfectly in the fact that they make fun of themselves more than they do everybody. And I think that's, like, it's not Candid Camera where I'm making, you're the butt of the joke. Like, we are the butt of the joke. And that's what's different and a little bit more fun about it.
I think my favorite episode is one with the actor that plays Neville Longbottom, and he's on the Jurassic Park ride.
Yeah.
Oh, my, because nobody fucking knows it's him.
Because he doesn't look like Neville Longbottom.
No.
He looks like a hunk.
That guy definitely, definitely unneveled himself.
Yeah. Dude is a babe in real life. They make him look
retarded. That dude right.
Yeah.
It's funny. There's so many fucking pun. Like, one time, three people lost, and then the one guy tattooed all of them. Like, he chose a tattoo for all of them to get, and one of them was Jaden Smith. It's fucking funny. It's so fucking hilarious.
Like, Jaden Smith is tattooed as a child on this grown man's hip.
Yeah.
And for the rest of his life, he has to explain why he has a Jaden Smith tattoo.
Is Jaden Smith, like, trans now?
I have not.
So
yet. I saw, like, an interview where he was at a table and he's straight. I mean, I'm not even afraid. He looks like a girl now. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if he made that transition.
He doesn't
believe that he's here on Earth, bro.
He's definitely talked about how Tyler, the Creator, is his boyfriend. And, like, I mean, there's a lot of... Aside from his sexuality, I think he has, like, some pretty serious mental issues. Like,
he comes across like a crazy
weird.
Like, he's got a lot of stuff going on that I don't understand. And his music's terrible. But you do you, Kanye, too.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Go watch Impractical Jokers, dude.
Yeezys.
Okay. It's funny.
I'll check that.
Tim, what was your TV pick, man?
I think it should be pretty obvious. Letterkenny. Oh, God.
I'm never buying you a Coke.
Figure it out.
Figure it out.
I love that show, too. That was way up there on my list.
You know, that was the only saving grace for me when I did Wizard World Ohio. Because my buddy Brent, who I stayed with out there.
The show was terrible?
Yes, Wizard World is fucking garbage, and I'm never doing it again. Even if they asked me to, I'm going to be like, no.
I love how you were like, it's Wizard World, but it's in Ohio, so it's going to be awesome.
I figured for a Wizard World, just give it a shot. I don't know.
The Chicago Ohio ones are supposed to be really good.
I guess, if you can get there. But yeah, Columbus, Ohio, big letdown. But... Anyway,
he doesn't just mean Wizard World.
If it wasn't for my buddy Brent,
all of it,
like streaming like three seasons straight of Letterkenny, I think I would have had like an utter like horrible fucking time. But the show is actually amazing.
Yeah,
and I fucking love it.
It will save your life.
It will.
God damn it, Yeti!
You're the only one I can't get to. Let me touch you.
Okay. So, Jason Wells said The Good Place.
Oh, that show is awesome.
That is a great show.
So intelligent.
I don't know. That
is a great show.
The bear has two mouths.
Want to say what it is?
Yeah. So
I have no idea what it is.
So it's a lady that dies.
Veronica Mars.
And
I mean, the actress.
The actress that plays Veronica Mars. And she thinks that she's gone to heaven kind of on accident, when really it's a giant experiment to see if by putting people in a good place, hell can torture people more effectively.
By having them do it themselves.
By having them do it themselves. It's funny and like really creative. I haven't seen a ton of it, but Mel absolutely loves that show.
I haven't seen or heard
I'm current on it.
It is definitely worth watching. If you have Hulu, I think the whole thing is on there. So Superstore.
To watch all our favorite
shows. Yes.
Oh my God.
To watch all our favorite shows, you need to spend about $60 a month.
Or have cable.
Yeah, I do have cable.
No, you need more than cable. You need Hulu, Netflix, YouTube Red.
Well, no, like Superstore and The Good Place are network shows.
And they're in currently on
Hulu.
But you can get caught up that way.
Larry G. Campbell made one mistake, and a lot of people make this mistake with this show. He said House on Haunted Hill, which came out a long fucking time ago. It's The Haunting of Hill House, I believe, is what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
And Altered Carbon are his two favorites for this year.
Nice. Both Netflix shows.
I haven't watched Hill House, but I hear it's really good, too. My brother and sister-in-law watched it, and they said it was really good.
All I can say about it is that the Shirley Jackson novel is one of my favorite novels of all time. So
they said it was less jump scary and more creepy.
Yeah, and psychological.
And yeah.
Oh, I like
the jumps. So jump scares.
You'd like it a lot.
The jump scare is like it's overdone.
So while you're looking up the other ones, I will pull up Mel and Hannah's TV picks. So Mel's TV pick. Oh, actually, Mel and Hannah both picked the same TV show. They both binge-watched Gravity Falls, which is a really, really cool cartoon.
It is pretty good.
That basically is about this this uncle who has his two kids, like his niece and nephew, for the summer in this little town called Gravity Falls where all sorts of weird stuff happens. Right. And as time progresses, you find out that there's this huge conspiracy with this interdimensional being that's trying to destroy the world. And the uncle's twin brother is basically the only person holding the universe together. And it has like this cool like story arc over several different seasons. That's a ton of fun. Like, honestly, if you have kids and want to introduce them to, like, you know, the tropes of, like, horror movies and science fiction and stuff, like, Gravity Falls is, like, a really cool entry point to that. Because it's got
toned down Rick and Morty.
Ah. Yeah.
The very, very similar kind of premises and, you know, themes.
Not as in your face.
But definitely.
Or your ass.
Definitely for kids. Like, I think it's rated.
Or in your ass. Yes.
Rick and Morty gets up there.
Way up there,
Morty.
But I think it's rated, like, Y7 for TV. Like, it's nice. It's fun.
It's something totally I can watch with my niece and nephews where I'm not going insane. It's a good show.
It is a good show. I love it. And so does Mel.
Michael Kirk said The Haunting of Hill House. He said it's an amazing Netflix show that was super creepy and binge-worthy.
Plus, he's on the show.
Oh, what? Nice.
Ghost Michael Kirk's on the show.
Yeah.
You can see him in the mirrors.
Oh, hey.
Old Still Radio Shows finally sent us a list.
Yeah, I sent him a message saying to get on that shit.
Fuck, I don't know where he sent it.
He sent it. I just got the notification. Give me a second.
Okay.
John Clyde Still Jim... Bob Briggs.
The White.
Now I'm having a hard time not saying his real name.
Right? That was my problem the other day when I was fucking
what?
High and drunk in the backseat of the car going to Taco. I was like, God damn, what the fuck is your fake name?
I mean, it is difficult to not say John Douchebag. Like, it's such a weird name.
I know, right?
Yeah. For trailer, he picked Infinity War. It got you – oh, sorry. Let me read this right. Got you hyped up and ready, and the movie did not disappoint. It was the Empire Strikes Back of the Avengers movies.
Wow.
He's only picked movie and trailer so far.
Okay.
So I'm going to read his voice like that the entire time.
I think it's Sean on Instagram picked Altered Carbon. That was a
popular show.
Fucking A.
That was good.
Season 2 is going to be legit.
Sci-fi done right.
DC Titans, the one on the DC Universe.
Actually,
Titans show.
Better than the previews looked.
I've also heard that. It looked horrendous, but I have also heard that it's much better than what it looked like.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It looks like
Starfire
hot garbage.
Looks like a bag of shit.
Have you watched
on a good day? Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
You watched the whole series?
The first season. The first episode.
I think it's only the first episode?
No, I'm just saying she looks terrible. Like, I'm not saying the show is terrible.
No,
she just looks terrible.
Sorry.
It changes. It changes.
So does she get less terrible?
She does not stay with the weird, like, dog skin suit. She still has the Party City wig throughout the whole thing. Like,
it just looked like they spent $8 on her costume.
Cosplay looked way better than that. Like,
yeah,
people who threw something together out of their closet look way better than
that.
They
had to spend a lot of money for Robin to say fuck Batman. They didn't have a lot of extra money, okay?
So here's
it gets better, though.
Do you have the DC streaming service thing, or did you try it out or anything?
I tried it.
No, a friend of mine had access to these, and thus I watched them through him.
I heard it was better than it looks.
So. Yeah. There's just not enough content yet.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to going back to it. There just wasn't
just enough, not enough content.
Now, the Young Justice cartoon, when that gets on there, then I may be tempted to put the money down for it.
As Swamp Thing comes in and Young Justice.
Because I definitely want to watch Swamp Thing.
And yeah, I feel like too. If they integrate the comic selection more with the show, which is what I was hoping it would be. I was hoping that you would see a show and it would be like, here's comics that like led to the idea of this show. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
a great that would cross-marketing.
Be awesome, but that's not what it was so far.
Like
so far, probably, it was like, here's 20 random comic books.
You're too good for them, Doyle.
20 shows.
Like, because right now, the only reason I would want it is the Batman animated series.
Yeah. They do have a lot
but
of,
that's not enough for me. Like, I just fucking go bitch.
The cool thing is they do.
Especially for the monthly price.
Yeah. The cool thing is they do have a lot of the animated movies.
So, like,
the DC animated movies, which are very good.
Yeah, they are.
So, like, come Swamp Thing, then it'll be worth it for me because I want to see that. And then I'll be like, okay,
I'm going to go back to
it. Now I can go watch all this other shit that I love.
No, after Black Lightning, they'll never touch us. I'm sorry.
Yo, yo, what's up? This is me, DMC, and the place to be, the K-I-N-G. And the only place for you to ever be is right here rocking with Thinking Outside the Long Box, because this is the podcast of them all.
Fantastic. But one of the main characters on it, the female lead, is now playing Lois Lane in the crossover, in the Elseworlds.
Nice. She's my second most hated TV show wife.
Juliet.
She's no Lori. For fuck's sake. I'm rewatching Walking Dead because I do that even though there's new shows I want to watch. Everything, and I just can't wait for Lori to die. Like, we're in the prison.
Bad is her fault.
And yeah. I'm just like, can we kill this bitch already? Seriously.
Okay. Wow. And we're back.
We're back.
We've been recording.
Lori, what is her real name? You made me hate you a lot. So good job.
All right, so this segment, we're going to talk... Did I say comic book?
I don't know.
Yeah, favorite comic book.
Okay, so let's...
And favorite Tim.
Favorite Tim?
Yeah, Husky's a very close second.
So we're going to start with AC.
I'm going to go with Tim Hortons.
AC, what was your favorite comic book this year?
All right, this is... There's a lot of good stuff this year.
Yes.
And I love the... Actually, I'm really happy with the Bendis stuff on Superman.
I as well.
I think he's adding... I mean, at first, I didn't like the whole, we're going to retcon and add some extra mystery to Superman's origin and the destruction of Krypton, because I hated when they did that with Peter Parker's parents, and they're like, oh, they weren't just, you know, normal people that got killed and made him an orphan. They were super spies, and that's where Peter gets his inquisitive nature and genius. And it's like, shut up, I don't care about this. But in Superman, they did a much better job by creating Rogel Zar, the weapon of mass destruction that was responsible to make sure that Krypton did die. It sort of explains why on a planet full of an advanced, scientifically knowledgeable society, they sat there and ignored climate change and let everything fall apart all around them.
Yeah.
There was someone accelerating it.
What kind of advanced society of science does that?
Ah, the self-damnation. But Rogel Zar added a lot to it.
Yeah.
Do you think the Green Lantern that has Krypton in a sector just got fired when that happened?
Dude, they had a whole story
dropped
about that.
Dropped the ball.
I'm pretty sure Zod went after him after he got out of the Phantom Zone, or his successor or whatever. Like, somebody basically hosed him for that epic failure. But as much as I've really liked this, and I've liked the fact that, oh, Superman's too powerful, so they made Rogel Zar physically superior to him. Superman can't just go up and be like, punch your ass, give you a lecture, and show you how to be a better man by the end of it. Which is Superman, Captain America, Optimus Prime, Duke from G.I. Joe, Lion-O, like, all these archetypes that are that, like, alpha power, but power of a hurricane, yet the self-control of a breeze type thing. I love that he is finally outclassed. And it's not that he couldn't be before this. Doomsday outclassed him. Zod on a good day outclasses him. Like, he's not so powerful that he doesn't have challenges. But this is the first challenge that, with Supergirl, they struggled. They had to throw his ass into the Phantom Zone because they could not handle him. And it was an immediate earth-shattering threat that forced them to do that. I'm really liking that. I like it when a superhero who is normally in control of everything, normally at the top of the mountain and setting a good example for people, has a position reversed on them where they're no longer like, oh, I can be ethical because I'm powerful enough to be ethical. I'm powerful enough to enact my choices. I'm powerful enough to solve the consequences of being a good person. In this case, he's fighting an uphill battle. He's no more powerful than Daredevil fighting the Kingpin, and it's a similar scale of strength. So I'm really happy with that. Also, read Batman Annual number 3. It's a Father's Day story with Bruce and Alfred, and it actually shows Bruce not being a complete and total dick to Alfred for 5 minutes.
Nice.
It was so weird.
How about you?
I got nothing for this one. I literally went this
one
whole,
does not read comics.
I literally went this whole
just
year
say Walking Dead
with reading.
On.
Well, that's just what the most of what I've read is The Walking Dead, essentially. The Walking Dead, and I read a lot of the Justice League stuff, but this year has been really bad.
Justice League Odyssey is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Amazing. It's only like 3 issues in, but
still, good start.
Yeah.
So I had a hard time picking. I've read a ton of like really cool older stuff. Mobius Collection has been coming out. Manara Collection's been coming out. I read a book called The Motherless Oven that was really, really interesting that I enjoyed. And another book called The Property. And I think I talked about both of those pretty recently on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks.
I'm saying you have. Oh. I wasn't trying to be a dick about it.
Yeah, you have. Shut the fuck
Stop
up.
Talking about it.
Moving on.
So I had a hard time picking one, so I did pick two. The finale of Harrow County was unbelievably good. Like, and just I did not want that book to end. I loved it. It was so good though, and they
it's a
wrapped
kick
it
in
up.
The taint.
They wrapped it up really, really well. I would say they wrapped it up as well as Shudder got wrapped up last year. You know, just a really good ending that I enjoyed, but didn't want to be over yet. But my pick this year is God Country. Those 6 issues are a really powerful book, really well written, really interestingly drawn, just a great concept, a great idea that drives the story of like an old guy finding redemption. Really just is a cool, cool book and absolutely worth your time. I mean, and it's contained. Like, if you buy the trade paperback of God Country, you have the book. Like, it's that just that one 6-issue like story, and it is definitely worth reading. So
is that's it. Like, the 6 issues tells the complete story. There's no continuation.
There's
that,
no
right?
continuation. Like, they've already talked about how they're going to move on to a different project and stuff like that. You know, like if you're not familiar with it, basically there's a family, you know, a mom, a dad, and a kid, and they are staying with the dad's father who has Alzheimer's, and he is horrible to them because dementia does that to you. You know, he doesn't remember who anybody is. He's always super mean, whatever. And this giant.
Do you have dementia?
Yeah. This giant sword.
A lot of things would make sense.
This giant sword falls out of the sky, and when the old man picks it up, his dementia goes away, and he can communicate with the sword that's actually the god of blades. And so he is within every blade. So, like, at any point in time, he's experiencing war across different dimensions and all this other stuff and learning from it. And the god who lost the sword wants it back, but the old man doesn't want to give it up because he's clear-headed again. And he has these...
He ain't got no dimension.
Yeah, he has these moments where he's like, oh, you're my son. This is my grandkid. And, like, he has these great moments. But every time he has these beautiful moments with his family, he also has to be holding this, like, cloud from Final Fantasy level sword, you know, like, so it's just a really cool story about knowing when it's the right time to let go. And that, I mean, it was good. It was moving. It was intense and also fantasy with giant swords, you know? So like, it's just, it hits all of my favorite things buttons. So it's definitely, definitely worth checking out. Like, also, 7 to Eternity Volume 2 is fucking unbelievably cool, too. If
that's a book I wanted to start reading.
That,
I have it.
That is by far the most European-style comic book being made in the United States right now. Like, 7 to Eternity reminds me so much of like 70s and 80s like comic books from France. Like they're it's fucking cool as hell. I love that book too. So sorry. I'm like, these are my 15 number one picks.
Oh, so I guess it's my turn now. My favorite comic was Labyrinth Coronation because it's literally the only comic I've read this year.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
We're such a great comic book podcast, guys.
Yeah.
I didn't fucking say, you say that. Between, like, pop culture podcast.
Now we
cons
are.
Cons and work.
I succumbed to that, like, years ago.
Life in general, like, it's not been tough. A year for comics for me at all. But this happened to be the one book that I sat down and read, like, the first four issues. And it's a really good prequel story to the Labyrinth movie. It talks about how the Goblin King got there.
About a labyrinth.
Yep. it's about how the Goblin King got there and became, you know, David Bowie with a big codpiece.
Bowie, did he start off with a codpiece, or did he have to, like, earn it through some, you know?
I haven't got that far yet. There's two more issues. Two more issues left. So, hoping they discuss.
So right now it's just normal-sized?
Yeah.
It's not, like, Henry VIII codpiece yet?
No.
Oh, yeah. Man. A Highlander-esque story about codpieces. Make the comic, somebody. Lightning striking the crotch. Codpiece gets a little bit bigger.
I am immortal.
I think Doyle's the only one that got the Highlander TV show joke right there.
Oh, no. He's not the only one.
I watched the shit out of that show.
I loved that show when I was a kid.
Duncan MacLeod was my hero when I was a teenager.
So I watched... this is a total tangent,
also, but... same guy played Raiden.
I watched the Connor. Highlander TV show before I had ever seen the movies.
And the
show was amazing. And then somebody, you know, it said at the end of the show, based on the movie, The Highlander. I was like, I got to watch this movie. So I went to the video store and
best
I checked it out.
And
they were like, fucking worst movie compared to the TV show. It was so garbage.
I agree. I was TV show over movie.
I was watching it. I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like, why aren't they sword fighting? Like,
because they are immortal.
Nobody's getting their
when
heads
you're immortal,
chopped off.
You spend a lot of time not sword fighting. A lot of shitting.
Probably a lot more time to read comic
books. Yeah.
When Tim and I,
with a very Spanish name, is played by
Sean Connery. Yeah.
Who's an Egyptian?
He's an Egyptian.
Spain.
Yeah. He's an Egyptian from Asia.
And people
from...
bitch about whitewashing now. They didn't even give a shit before.
Like, Sean Connery is a Spanish Egyptian with an Asian sword
and a Scottish accent.
Yeah, no matter what movie he does, like Hunt for Red October, you get Sean Connery. It doesn't matter what movie he's in. That is what
the
you
most
get.
Scottish Russian of all time.
I like how actors used to be that.
Zardoz.
Oh,
no.
Oh, man.
I like how that used to be the definition of a good
the
actor.
The penis is evil.
Oh, God, really?
Well, because now it's like, you know, this transformative person is a good actor. Back then it was just like De Niro. Why? Because he's fucking De Niro in everything. Like Connery in everything. And
yeah.
Like the badass actors.
You get that flavor no matter what.
I mean, they were good at what they did, but it's very one note.
Well, a couple years ago, Tim and I saw the actor... for what was his name? Duncan MacLeod. What's his real name?
Oh, God damn it. Yeah, he was at Rocky Mountain Con. It's another con.
Surrounded by women, still ripped as fuck.
Yeah, dude's fucking beast.
And Tim like and I were like...
Well, he's immortal.
He has the sacred blood of kings.
I mean... His whole, like, shtick now is, like, he, like, teaches self-defense courses and, like, sword fighting. Like, he just kind of ran with it, I guess.
Yeah.
You wanted... It's a goal, man.
It'd be crazy if he, like, is a Highlander.
Right?
Can we get a show where he fights Steven Seagal and then, like, works his way up to, like, Van Damme?
It's basically...
Expendables 5. Bad,
but through shitty, like, 80s action stars.
Yes!
All right. Doyle. Comic Doyle.
Why are you so eager to get off Tim's turn? Like, fuck Tim.
Fuck Tim. Because my fucking choice is a Labyrinth comic.
I'm sure it's all right. Power Rangers is going to be amongst mine.
It's decent. 11 and we got two more things to do. That's why.
Okay. Favorite, even though it came out in like August of 2017, is probably Mr. Miracle.
Hmm.
I think is up there.
Well, it's wrapping up now, right?
So, yes.
Yeah, and it counts.
It's a great series. If you haven't read it, it's about the probably the best take on the New Gods ever.
Weird twist ending as well.
Yeah. Get some big Bardo up in there. You know what I'm saying?
Michael Crook likes Mr. Miracle.
Yeah, a lot of people comparing it to like the modern day like Watchmen, like the things it's doing to comics right now.
It is very, very good. The Shattering Grid arc in Power Rangers was, I think, one of the best things I read this year. Literally, it was just very good. All the different Power Rangers groups going through time. Green Ranger, fucking with all of them.
How many of them?
It's a lot of stuff. I like the Power Rangers, hard to keep up with. It's a lot of Rangers.
Plaid Ranger.
So many Rangers.
Yeah. So many
that
Rangers.
Power is not as exclusive as it was made to look in the original Power Rangers.
No, not at all.
Pretty much everyone's a Ranger now.
They're like the Green Lanterns, basically, of whatever universe they inhabit.
Shit, McDuncan McCloud Ranger.
Of the DC stuff, the Bendis stuff is good right now. Flash is pretty good right now. That's about it. Green Lantern stuff's okay right now.
Oh, the new series. Holy shit.
I haven't
read
the new series yet.
Dude, it feels like an episode of Heavy Metal. It is so weird and out there. They bring out like the Green Lantern that's blind. Yeah. It lives in the
Green Lantern. Heavy Metal.
I love that shit. You speak my language.
No, I'm excited to read it.
Awesome.
Immortal Hulk has been good. I don't know if you read it at all.
Don't ruin it for me.
I read the first part.
Yeah, Immortal Hulk has been really good, and it's leading into the Defender stuff, which I'm super stoked for. So that's like the mainstream stuff.
I got to give a shout-out, though, to the Transformers series that both ended this year.
Of course you
the,
do.
The Lost Light, fucking amazing.
Oh, it's going to be Apocalypse.
Ended with like
way better than you think.
A prestige-style twist at the end. It ended with like it's one of the best things I've read in the last 10 years. The focus on the characters, on the humor, on making them individuals and interesting has just been – James Roberts knows what he's doing. On the other hand, the Optimus Prime book was actually kind of the Unicron miniseries that ended their whole thing garbage. And I hate to say that because it should have been awesome. But the last issue of Optimus Prime was a good send-off. And it did – it was a little, it's a lot deeper than – people assume out of a Transformers book. These things are amazing. I highly recommend them.
I don't know if you guys knew this about AC, but he loves Transformers.
Bumblebee.
And Superman.
And Superman.
Super Bumblebee.
That would be amazing.
I'm not going to lie. I would definitely read that comic book.
It's a lot of material for a cape. It's a big-ass cape.
The cape is...
Too many fat
the
jokes.
Cape just,
not enough time. The cape...
Bumblebee's cape just looks like Michael Bay's Transformers. It's just a sheet of trash.
Wow. Jason Wells says the limited series Mr. Miracle. Mm-hmm. And he says regular series The Immortal Hulk.
Nice.
Larry G.
We're on the same page, Wells.
Larry G. Campbell said, even though I'm a huge Spider-Man guy, best series of the year for me is Immortal Hulk.
Wow, a lot of Immortal Hulk love this year. That's kind of cool.
Good, man.
Michael Kirk said, Batman, I love Tom King's writing style. The story had been amazing. Anytime a dude gets death threats for his writing, you know he is doing it right.
True.
Wanted to nominate Mr. Miracle again, but I did that last year.
Mel put down, I don't read comics. So there's that. And then Hannah put down Digimon. She has a stack of Digimon comics from like the early 2000s that she's been seriously like plowing through over the last couple weeks.
I don't know why I didn't know this because obviously there would be, but I didn't know there were Digimon comics.
Yeah, she loves them. She's 7, so yeah, that's a totally valid choice.
I watched the TV show back in the day.
So did I.
I'm pretty sure I was older than 7.
John Steele Radio TV Show Hour said, I really enjoyed the Mr. Miracle run.
Nope. I really enjoyed the Mr. Miracle run. It is just weird, and I love it. But above that, Garth Ennis...
Anus.
Rhymes with penis on Punisher was the absolute best.
Go in, all right.
I kind of love it. I fucking love it. In my head, I'm like, there's no way he's not going to call in like the next
You know what would
episodes.
Be great? Is if I did like a whole like you know how we were talking about Audible? If I went back and did the whole Dark Tower series that way. Like just Stephen King like that the entire time.
I think it's Sean on Instagram said Batman Damned.
Oh, mm.
Bat penis.
Bat Wang.
Never buying
your Coke.
Middle West? Is that what he said?
Yeah. I'm not Midwest. Midwest or Middle West?
Middle
That's
West.
That artist they had at the shop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Middle West. Yeah, I never heard of it, but
it's a local indie book, which is really cool. That's a good shout, Dom.
Yeah, because that artist was at the shop for Comic Shop Day.
Yeah. Along with the family that does Aya.
Aya.
Or Pila. Sorry. Yeah. The Aya's company, Pila. Yeah.
Comic books done. We're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we will talk about our favorite movies of 2018. And we'll probably go into our pop culture classics without taking a break, too.
Yeah. So. We'll also discuss why there wasn't a Highlander movie in 2018.
And Game 3.
So you'll start this one. Does anybody need bathroom break?
Hi, this is Brian Cox, the original Hannibal Lecter, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Here to save him, and he's wearing a Punisher shirt. He's like, oh, no.
It's so good.
Such a great way to come back in. Oh, no. And we're back. Hey, everybody. Continuing on our best of 2018, we're going to talk about our favorite movies and our favorite pop culture classics that we've watched.
Classics.
Maybe do both on your turn?
No.
Or go movies.
Yeah,
go movies. And
I didn't know we were doing pop culture. Ah, fuck it. All right, let's do it at the same time.
You know what your pick is.
You know what's weird? When you go to wash your hands, you go to wash your hands and you put lotion instead of soap on.
I hate that.
I just did that.
I fucking hate that the kids have their soap and their lotion right next to each other.
I was just like washing my hands. Now I'm lotiony and wet. And it's weird.
Trying to rinse the lotion off, not working.
Puts lotion on its skin.
So, I was looking... because I wasn't quite sure what I was going to pick. It ended up being Avengers. I mean, Infinity War was
fun. Knew it would be.
Awesome. But I just
knew you liked that movie.
In a time where, I mean, Deadpool came out, Solo came out, fucking The Nun came out, which was a big tentpole for that franchise.
Was it good?
I only watched a little bit of it. I got distracted while
I kind of want to watch The Nun, but I haven't seen it yet.
But a shit ton of really big tentpole movies came out this year, but... there's just, I don't remember a time where there's been so much hype involving so many different fucking movies for a movie. And Avengers from the start to the end was just,
it lived up to the hype. The whole time.
It did. So. Like, very few movies live up to that level of hype, and it definitely did. Like, it was up there on my list of things to pick, but, you know,
it's tough. There super was a lot good. Of shit that came out.
Actually, I thought you were going to go with Fantastic Beasts 2.
That was a really close one.
That was a close one for me, man.
For me, Fantastic Beasts felt more... Avengers felt like a sequel to me, and then we're going to finish it off in the next one. Fantastic Beasts felt more like a pass-through. It felt like a bridge to the third one.
An empire.
Yeah. And so it didn't feel sequel-y to me. It just felt like a continuation of the first story, which I guess could be kind of what that's supposed to be, but...
she's what a
pretty
sequel
sure
is.
That's the exact definition of a sequel.
But it didn't feel like that. It felt like one extended version. You know what I mean? Yeah. It didn't feel like a proper sequel to me. That's why I didn't go up there.
Sure, I got you.
But I enjoyed the fuck out of Avengers. It was a really good movie. It's hard to beat when there's so many cool fucking characters that you can meld together. My pop culture classic that I can think of right off the top of my head is probably going to be The Three Amigos. That was probably one of the funniest things. It was probably one of the funniest things we fucking watched this year.
Movie holds up so good.
So funny. I love it. I mean, it's the same thing. You know, you get, you know, all of these amazing comedians together in one fucking movie, and it couldn't be anything but gold. It was really
no,
gold.
It can be though. Like, well, that's the thing. Okay. You put together these huge casts of comedic actors, and sometimes they completely fall flat. Right. This one didn't. And
Anchorman 2, prime example.
Mars Attacks.
What's that?
Mars Attacks.
Exactly. But what I think it is, I think it's that they didn't write it. It was just a well-written script that they just had to act, you know, and they knew what they were doing and they sold it, and it's amazing.
Right. You can't have too much power as an actor, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are my two, Infinity War and The Three Amigos.
Nice. All right. I feel like my favorite movie pick should be super obvious. My favorite movie this year was fucking Mandy. Like, oh, absolutely the coolest shit I've watched this year. I love that the first half of it is an art house movie and the second half of it is an Evil Dead movie. Like, there's a dude with a dagger penis. There's like intergalactic demon drug hallucinations. There's
a chainsaw duel.
Chainsaw duel. There's an amazing like metal soundtrack. Like, I mean, that movie top to bottom is crazy and fun and absolutely the kind of like horror movies I love. Panos Cosmatos, the guy that directed it, also did Beyond the Black Rainbow, which deserves a place on this list. I know it didn't come out this year, but I saw it this year, and that movie's fucking weird too, and I absolutely love it, and I can't wait to see what else that guy comes out with. We talked to Legion M. They were behind it some. Like, you know, they were also behind Colossal, which I loved last year. I mean, it's, I don't know. Mandy is super, super cool. And like when you read the reviews where this is the role Nicolas Cage was born to play.
Yes.
100% oh my God, accurate. Yeah. Like the scene where he's in the bathroom.
Yes.
Cries, scream laughing for like 5 minutes while he drinks booze in his tight whiteys. Like, what the fuck is happening?
It was the one time where Nicolas Cage acting like that was absolutely perfect for what had just happened.
Exactly. And like the way the plot developed was not what I was expecting at all. Like, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen this movie, like, pause this, go watch it, and then come back because it's totally worth watching. But like, the fact that she dies, like, threw me off completely because I didn't see that coming at all. And then his like turn into like, you know, metal superhero.
Ghost Rider.
Did not see that coming. Like, his, I mean, just his dogged determination.
It's a better Ghost Rider also than his portrayal of Ghost Rider.
Also, the fact that he's, like, some kind of trained killer. Also did not see that coming. Right. Like,
he had a crossbow waiting for him.
Yeah. It's just fucking weird.
Smelts an axe.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a blacksmith for some reason.
Like, it's just so good. Like, when, you know, so you were talking about how Green Lantern reminded you of old issues of heavy metal. Mm. This reminds me of old issues of heavy metal where it's like, you know, there's some sexy stuff, there's some artsy stuff, and then there's just a shitload of violence for no reason. Like, it's, I mean, it's like they said, Gabe, we would like to make a movie for you. And I said, these are the things I want in it. Nicolas Cage being crazy, a giant axe, a lady parts, maybe weird. Some fire and hallucinations.
Drugs.
Definitely demons. Drugs. Tim was talking about buying a Christmas gift for me last night, and he went onto Amazon and said, what should I look up for Gabe? Satan.
And then it auto-corrected to Satin. So I was looking at bedsheets.
Oh, man. But Mandy, by far, was my favorite movie that I've watched this year. And I mean, I watch a lot of kids' movies. I've seen a lot of other movies. Ralph Breaks the Internet, I have to at least say, because that was fun. I love going to movies with my kids because I kind of turn into a kid again. So even if a movie's not great, if my kids love it, I end up loving it.
It was pretty adorable watching your guys' reactions when you took Hannah to see The Meg.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty awesome. Watching The Meg with Hannah made The Meg good. You know, this is kind of on the cusp of pop culture classic pick, and then also because my pop culture classic pick is easy too. But last night I took Mel to see a stage version of A Christmas Story. And like, there's some extra stuff that was in the stage version that's from the book, which I've also read that isn't in the movie. And it was really cute. The kid that plays Flick totally stole the show. There's a scene from the book that was in the play that I love where they're in the swamps of Indiana and he has his, you know, when he has his little dreams about how he's going to use his Red Ryder BB gun to save people. And the kid that plays Flick, he's all the swamps of Indiana. They are unforgiving. Like, and then they're talking about the alligators in the swamps, the alligators in Indiana are unforgiving. Like, it was just, he did a lot of like repeated jokes that like he sold really good, and it was fun. My friend Stacy, who I keep trying to get on the show, but he's bad about stuff like that.
Does her mom got it going on?
Hey!
Stacy's a dude.
Does his mama have a coat on?
he played the old man, which was really fun to hear him say, "Oh, you son of a biscuit, I'm going to frizzle frack you." You know, and that it was a lot of fun. So that's kind of... in between,
I love
my,
a good frizzle fracking.
Kind of in between my favorite movie, but it was a play, and there's no space for plays in this list. But my favorite pop culture classic from this year, Three Amigos. Like, it was, I mean, I fucking love that movie. Tons of great memories attached to it. And now this show is one of those great memories. So I love that movie.
Even though I heard we didn't talk about it nearly enough.
Did,
who said
John
that?
Still. I was here when he said it.
Oh, fuck John Still.
Wow.
Fuck that guy.
My favorite pop culture classic is every movie with Ron Jeremy's dick. John, it's like you're sitting right here.
My favorite pop culture classic is anything with penis. Just lots of penis.
I like sucking them. I like rubbing them. I like pulling on them.
What do you think was really in that Appalachian sipping cream?
Definitely jism.
You're definitely jism.
All right, your turn, Tim.
What are we on, movies?
Yeah, movie and pop culture
we
classic.
Drank that. All right,
so Juan already said Infinity War, so I'm going to use my backup then, which was Crazy Rich Asians.
Nice.
I thought
that movie.
That movie was fucking fun.
That was
phenomenal.
A fast departure from...
Right?
I thought you were going to go like Black Panther or something, and you're like, rich Asians.
Trading in the blacks for the Asians.
Oh,
but that movie is fucking phenomenal. Pop culture classic.
It's about crazy rich Asians.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's about crazy rich Asians.
It's
I mean, is there a plot? Like,
it's a romance story. It's a romance story. But
it's
very
romantic comedy, so you know everything you need to know.
Yeah, but it's actually like very, very good. And it dwells a lot in like Asian culture.
Some romantic comedies are very good. They're just all the same thing.
Boy meets girl, girl's rich Asian.
Yeah.
One of them isn't good enough for the other one based on their family. I haven't seen it, but I bet that's part
she has
of
her feet.
No, that's Crazy Rich Indians. That's a different movie.
That's right.
It's a different, totally different show.
It's a rom-com with like, you know.
Way more singing and dancing.
Cool, I'll have to check it out. I know it got good reviews too.
It's a fantastic movie. Pop culture classic, V for Vendetta. I love that fucking movie. No, one really need to say a whole lot. It's just a good fucking movie. If you haven't seen it, go see it.
Over there, Yoda.
I'm keeping myself awake.
He moved a lot of meat last night, man.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He started before I even got to work.
A little bit of meat.
But he moved a lot of it.
More than you like, think it is.
Like 30 different guys. Jesus. They just all have little dicks. I don't know.
Yeah. You've always wondered why my hands just constantly cramp in the form of an O. Just can't stop it. That would be so brutal.
I think no hand.
It's like a Wookiee.
We went off the rails.
Throw jerks off guys with small dicks.
They don't have to be small. I mean,
we did talk about Shaq and him.
I feel like it's a two-hander at least. I gotta throw in some wrist.
Maybe the feet. Maybe I have to use the feet.
I love that you held up your wrist as like a, I know how to do this.
I just feel like it was Shaq
totally
like resting
done
it on your shoulder with like double wrist. It's jizz already.
Wow.
All right, anyway.
The visual I just had is fucking terrible.
I mean, he helped
favorite
with the visual.
Movie fuckers.
Annihilation.
Did you do your pop culture classic?
Yeah.
How did I not hear you say that?
V for Vendetta.
I got so distracted.
V for Van Damme.
You were thinking about dicks too, I know.
Distracted with the dick talk.
Annihilation is probably my favorite movie this year. Ooh. I thought about it a lot.
Good choice.
It's a very good movie. All female cast done correctly.
Right in Tim's eye.
It was like targeted. He got right up on
Doyle,
it.
Doyle covered his mouth to sneeze, and it just like made a wind tunnel of snot right on it.
Because his hand automatically made the O.
No, he's all, achoo, through a,
he couldn't stop the O hand.
He's all, I tried to get my wrist in there to block it.
It was like a gun barrel. Just
well, if I'm sitting out for the next couple episodes, it's because I have Doyle AIDS.
What's funny is...
God damn it, Doyle.
After the first sneeze... After the first sneeze, I realized what I had done, but I couldn't stop it. The second one, it's just like, it's still coming, man. It's still coming.
Oh, that was amazing. Sometimes the best moments on the show are the accidents.
For all of those of you not here, I just basically sneezed in Tim's face twice in a row.
So great. So probably gonna die tomorrow. I don't know.
Typhoid Doyle.
Like watching, like shit, spittle, like flying out of his mouth, and your reaction.
Gallbladder's gonna have to take a back seat. I need to go get a flu shot now.
Why is Tim in the hospital? He has all of the diabetes. He's got the AIDS.
I've got diabetes. Surprisingly. But I do spread it.
It's true what the Republicans say.
It's just a carrier.
I've contracted the gay.
Don't worry.
Oh, God, I'm gay, guys.
I'm going to take you up to a cabin for 3 weeks and fuck the gay out of you.
You have to watch Castlevania
like
while you're
bastards.
Doing it.
Yeah. Castlevania.
I was wondering why you had so many pet frogs.
What?
Wow. That's
the frog.
A Beer Fest fucking reference.
Yeah, that was taking us back.
Okay.
All right. Doyle, all right. So, before you explode on anybody else.
Annihilation, I think honestly it's just like one of the better sci-fi movies I've seen.
And those books are crazy too.
Period, recently, yeah. And like just enough horror, but it's not really a horror movie.
It's just weird.
It's a
weird,
very good
and creepy
movie.
And really good, yeah.
And Natalie Portman is amazing in it. She's good in V for Vendetta too. But
very underrated actress.
Very good actress.
Yeah. Except for Star Wars, just
kind of phoned it in on that one.
I think that fucked her career a little bit. Like, I think she would be more respected as an actress if she wouldn't have been in Star
Wars. It's probably not her fault. It's probably all just scripting, but.
Yeah.
That movie.
George Lucas sucks at writing movies.
I mean, look at that guy that played young Anakin. Was it Hayden
Christensen?
Like, he hasn't really been in fuck else.
He's been in some other stuff now that he's an adult. Yeah. But
he did that movie Jumper. That was an okay film. Yeah. Also had...
Natalie Portman's not in that movie.
No, not Natalie Portman. God damn it. Motherfucker. Says motherfucker a lot.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. Jesus.
I don't know why I was going to say Steven Seagal again. I'm like, Steven Seagal?
Steven Seagal?
I don't think he ever says that.
He doesn't ever say motherfucker. Favorite pop culture classic.
Classic.
Is
it going to be the
Dragon?
One we never did?
Bruce Leroy.
That's a good choice.
I wanted to pick From Hell. Just we talked about it for 85 weeks and never actually did it. But I do enjoy the film and the book. But no, yeah, it was The Last Dragon, I think.
I was surprised how much I fucking loved that movie rewatching.
Well, at every scene, I was just like, why are they doing that? Why was that in this movie?
This is very weird and hilarious.
Yeah. How did they possibly put together this ensemble for the movie theater? Like, who was in charge of...
Casting?
Not casting.
A drug addict.
Who's the prettiest?
Fucking fashion, or like, what is it called?
Costume
design, yeah.
Like, who was in charge of wardrobe for that movie? Just like... Every fat guy's wearing a tank top, and we're going to bedazzle him. Where's the Asian? Tight Wranglers up to the nipples. That dude's ugly as fuck, too. Not the face. Everything in that movie is weird. Eating popcorn with chopsticks. But yeah, that is my...
I love that movie. I remember liking it when I was younger, but when we rewatched it, I was surprised how much I loved it because it's so bonkers and dumb and hilarious. Like, just what a great movie. That was a good pick.
I also liked it because Juan just didn't watch it, and he's always giving people shit about not doing other things. Just didn't watch it at all.
Busy Monday.
Well, you had 2 weeks.
I think I was busy that 2 weeks.
One's not the last dragon.
What I love about this is that AC is show adjacent, so he has no idea what the fuck the pop culture classics have been.
Nope. I was just going to pick a movie that I like.
Go for it. Go nuts.
All right. We'll put it. How about this? You pick something you like, and we'll put it next up after the two picks we have, Matrix and TMNT.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
TMNT's first, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I like
it. So it has to be a pop culture classic of some kind. A pop culture movie of some kind.
Something that's become a classic.
Your favorite 2018 movie.
Yeah, what was your favorite movie this year?
There were a lot of good ones, but due to recency, I'm just going to have to say Bohemian Rhapsody. That was
a good choice.
Amazing. I love Queen like a British person loves Queen. Like, since I was...
The Queen?
Well, I mean, no, but... Unless you mean Freddie Mercury's corpse, then yes. But the current Queen, no. It was just from the 20th Century Fox intro where it turns into Brian May playing it.
Yeah.
Like, even from that moment, I was just ready for the whole movie. It just escalated from there. The beginning where they show Freddie, or I guess Rami Malek being Freddie from behind, getting ready to jump on Wembley Stadium, and he's hopping up and down and stretching out. I actually own the VHS tape of Queen live at Wembley, and they show Freddie at the beginning getting warmed up and psyching himself up to go on stage. And it was one of those tear-jerking moments just from that familiarity, from like they were so dedicated to recreating something that special that they went that far. And then that same scene, they played it again at the end, but instead of him by himself with the whole band, showing like it wasn't a one-man show. Because let's face it, like, I love Queen. Each member of them had a number one hit with Queen, which not many bands can say that. But when they did their solo stuff, frankly, like, it was the Cross. Oh my God, Roger Taylor's band, he's had three albums and there's not a good song, and there's part of a good song. He has like a catchy piece in there. This is the genius that wrote I'm in Love with My Car, which is in my bottom 10 Queen songs, along with Bicycle and a few less.
Oh, I like Bicycle just because it makes me laugh.
Half the Hot Space album goes on there. Like, I know, but Bicycle has some good lyrics. But yeah, I
like when they say Bicycle a bunch.
I liked in the movie when they showed the Bohemian Rhapsody, like all the things people were writing about it, all the reviews, and it's coming at you like, oh, it's this triumphant moment that proves the critics wrong. And it was like loud and pompous, overblown garbage. And it's just all the negative reviews. And you're like, that's just, I don't know. For a artist, it's one of those inspiring things, like even bad press is still press.
I love that. I love the scene where Mike Myers, as record executive, is like, there will never be a moment when teenagers will be sitting in their car headbanging to this song. I was like, what a great nod to like the lasting legacy of Bohemian Rhapsody as like a pop culture thing, because it's in Wayne's World. It's something that we all sing along to. Like, everybody knows the words to it. And he's like bashing what in, you know, quote unquote, in the future really happens.
Which
you know,
he did, what he's responsible
that
for.
He did, yeah. And that's super fun to me. Like,
it was so meta.
Is yeah, I like meta humor, but it was like a great, that movie was awesome, so.
They had a few meta moments in there, like when Brian May is talking to Mary's family, and they're like, oh, you're an astrophysicist, maybe you'll write a book someday. And it's like, yes, Dr. Brian May has written a few astrophysics books at this point.
And did you catch at the end when they're at Wembley, there's a shot of the two guys in the rigging, and it's the two guys that are still alive from Queen, you know, sitting in the rigging.
Oh, I missed that.
And when they cut away to it, it's, you know, and cut back to them, it's just two actors. But there's like this one moment where it's those two guys, and they're just up there like, yeah, this is awesome. So, I don't know, it's just really cool. There's a lot of really neat and intelligent nods to like what a huge impact Queen has had on pop culture. So I don't know, it's really neat.
And you can definitely say like the accuracy for certain things is not there. The time frame, the timeline of certain events is not 100% correct. But there are plenty of documentaries on him out there that you can watch to get the perfectly accurate Queen story. But this portrayed the feeling of it. This portrayed the cultural impact, and I'm happy with that. So
since you're here, let's have you come on. This is Mel.
Hey,
Mel. What was your favorite movie this year?
What was my favorite movie this year?
Yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
So there you go.
It was well
two
done.
Two in a row.
It's nice to see you, sir.
Nice to see you, too. Been a while.
Yeah, I know. Not so nice to see you.
It's been a while.
Mel's favorite pop culture classic we haven't done yet. It's The Matrix.
So, oh, okay. Yeah. Nice.
I took the red pill.
Real quick, since we're on it, Hannah, her favorite movie this year was Ralph Breaks the Internet.
That's so cute.
Because she's seven. And her favorite pop culture classic was also The Three Amigos, because she liked watching it with me.
Is that the yo-yo?
She threw the yo-yo. She
killed him.
Tim is dead.
You broke my chair, you fat fuck.
Did I? Wow.
Tim.
You. Jason Wells said Infinity War.
All right, have fun, guys.
See ya.
Bye now. Larry G. Campbell said Infinity War.
Her favorite movies.
Yep.
I had a feeling Infinity War was going to be high on the list.
Michael Kirk said Incredibles 2.
Oh, sorry, that's a good choice.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's,
that's such a good movie.
No need to apologize, Ghost of Michael Kirk. So do I.
To go down on that real quick, fucking the fight scene with Jack-Jack and the raccoon makes that fucking movie. Like, holy shit, that is one of the best fight scenes I think I've ever watched,
movie.
Ever.
It's a good movie. I only watched it one time.
Incredibles, too.
John oh, you gotta read this one.
Oh, okay, here we go. Where's movie?
Number two.
My favorite movie this year, Upgrade, a surprise hit out of nowhere like John Wick. Upgrade's fight scenes were simply amazing, especially how they made it look like he wasn't in control of his body, and the plot was amazing. I didn't expect the ending and loved the darkness of the whole thing.
Basically, we wanted to make a Venom movie without Venom.
Yeah.
Which, nobody's favorite movie of the year, Venom.
One of the girls on our derby team has asked me every week since she saw it if I've seen Venom yet. And my answer is always, no, not yet.
There's a whole movie missing in that movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, Venom, he's bad, and he wants to kill everybody. Venom, he's good now. Like, what the fuck?
I think it's Sean said... Into the Spider-Verse, which I've heard is really good.
Yeah,
so it's good. That should just come out.
Yeah.
It just came out this last weekend.
That's okay. You know, a lot of people's pick just came out. Like,
I do want to watch it. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people would want to change their pick to Aquaman.
A lot of people are saying that it's like the best Spider-Man movie ever made.
Dom the said Avengers 3.
Surprised there was no Black Panthers.
So am I.
Infinity War was better.
And I think Black Panther. If I had to choose between two, I'd go Black Panther.
Of course you would.
To be fair. Avengers 3.
I like the movie.
Avengers 3 takes place in Wakanda, pretty much. So
Wakanda forever, bro.
It's Black Panther 1.5.
All the rest
forever.
Of the... Every MCU movie from now on is going to take place in Wakanda.
I think that's everything.
So we're
back to 1998.
Yep, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll do our old man pick for the year... 1998, year after I graduated from high school.
Not me.
Hi, this is Georgia Fox. Thank you for listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Oh, man, I wish you would have recorded.
I'm sorry.
As soon as you see Doyle start to move his hands, just hit the recorder.
Slanging that 2-year-old dick.
This is you. You start this one.
Oh, okay. So.
Start it up, old man.
1998 saw the release of an assload of really, really good movies.
Avengers Godzilla. 1. British edition.
My pick?
How what? Now, brown cow?
Steal my pick?
I don't
let's
know.
See.
So, for me, probably the best movie that came out
I'm guessing
in 1998 was The Big Lebowski. I absolutely love that
movie. Shut the fuck
movie.
Up, Donnie.
It is the movie
I did guess.
That I saw where I was like,
this is amazing.
I need to be that guy.
Like,
I want to just sit in a room and drink and smoke weed and enjoy my life.
Close.
I'm pretty close.
You're like the dude with kids.
I'm the dude with kids, yeah. I'm the responsible dude.
And run you over here pretty soon.
Yeah, definitely going to have to fight Nihilus at some point. But yeah.
Anarchy!
Nihilism, big difference.
Yeah, it's actually exhausting.
But yeah, I love The Big Lebowski. It is, I mean, 1998, there was a shitload of good movies that came out.
Shitload of good, a lot of things.
Yeah.
Because I had to, like, because I didn't want to pick a movie, so mine's...
Yeah.
I have to remember because I was 7. I was 11. I was 11, so I don't remember, so I had to jog my memory, but it's your turn, though.
Oh, my pick for 1998 is Pokemon Red and Blue for Game Boy.
Oh, that's valid, dude. It's like good, super
because those fucking games still like run my life. Like I'm waiting for a new Pokemon game on Switch right now.
A little cord that you could
yes.
connect two Game Boys together because
you could
play each other's Pokemon.
Yes,
that was amazing.
And you needed both games to collect all of them.
Yes. Oh,
that
was awesome.
Ah, that game was fucking amazing. Fuck, so many memories coming. Yeah, dude, like every memory is coming rushing back. Like,
so this is what's cool about it. As we go forward in time, we're getting older. You know what I'm saying? And so our 1990 whatever pick is getting to where Juan is actually starting to like have memories of it. And that's awesome.
Last year I was like, man, I really love like, you know, sleeping in my crib. Like, that was the best.
I used to have this little blankie. So good.
Had this blue binky. Man, that thing got me through such hard times.
Those things made a comeback. Like,
binkies?
Hispanics? Yeah, you never
Did
saw
Did they ever
Hispanics
go away?
Not for young people, for older people.
With his...
Like gangster Hispanics, they always had a fucking beat.
Oh, I mean, I've seen that in like movies.
Pacifier.
Oh, I've never really...
That was a real thing.
Oh, I've never really seen it... That would just ungangster you to me real quick.
Like, why are you chewing on a pacifier?
Because I love titties, yo, and I always want to be sucking on titties, but you can't always have titties in your mouth. What?
There you go, bro. That was a good answer.
Oh, that's a pretty good answer.
Is that cholo enough?
Fair point.
I give you full credit on that.
I would have to concede the point if a dude actually said that to me. I'd be like, all right, better than I thought you were going to do.
Here, I thought you were just a pussy.
Turns out you're crazy. But
just a big fan of tits, you know.
Disembodied nipples.
Just the nipples, though.
Just the nips.
Going back, Pokemon is... I remember actually watching when they first came out. I was just old enough to remember that show. Yeah, when it was just coming out and you had to wait every week for it to come. So
who's that Pokemon? And the memes that have spawned out of that fucking thing now.
So Rick and Morty has a new mobile game where it's basically Pokemon, but you're just collecting different mutant versions of Morty.
Yeah, that's
like,
fair.
It's pretty funny. So, sorry. It's just a total side note. It plays exactly like Red and Blue play.
Or download that.
Except for it's hard as fuck to play. And
oh, Pokemon could have been hard.
Unless you buy, because it's a pay-to-play. And
the fuck them. Some of those gym bosses, man.
Ugh.
Like, yeah. You had to go into, like, internet before it was awesome.
Figure out what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, and you're like...
Walkthrough.
You're like, Pokemon, Red, walkthrough, gym leader, whatever.
That's not internet before it was awesome. MUDs are internet before it was awesome.
So I was...
Which you probably don't know.
When I got Fallout 4, I bought the strategy guide for it. Right? And the guy at the video game store was like, why are you buying that? I was like, because, I mean, it's a strategy guide just in case I need help. He goes, I mean, there's the internet, though. I'm like, man, fuck you. Just because you're young and hip and with it. If I want a strategy guide, that's the only way I got through Final Fantasy VII.
Fucking things were, like, massive.
Dude, the Fallout 4 strategy guide is probably, like, 400 pages long.
I bet you nowadays they just... burn them once the game's not popular anymore. There's a mass
much.
Burning.
Yeah. Burn if they even good. Sell them. You can buy a subscription.
It's not a real book. It's a strategy guide. We're not talking about the Bible here.
That's what I was going to say. That's what they said about the Bible.
It's not a book. It's a strategy guide.
Strategy guide for life.
I don't know. Go to hell.
FYI, it hurt my heart when my mom burnt my D&D books, and those are basically just strategy guides. So
it's true.
No, me.
I never got over that shit.
1998 may have been my nerdiest year of life. I pretty much followed the progress and the beginning of the installation of the International Space Station that entire year, reading about it. Looking forward to it, watching Russia launch their shit in November, and then December, like, we launched our shit up there and started building it. But I was pretty much into that all year long. Wow, I was on a big NASA kick.
That was not anywhere near what I was expecting you to say.
That's all I was doing back then.
That's kind of cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
The International Space Station.
Yep.
That is...
Damn. I'm probably going to Google that myself later. That is a, now that I'm is like, a first
for this show where I'm just like, huh, that does sound interesting.
It was. When I was a kid, I wanted to go up there, and then lo and behold, I don't let fat people up there.
Weight limit.
Even though you're weightless, it's weird. It's weird.
Well, the weight limit is getting up there. Like,
let me float, fuckers.
I just want to be weightless for once.
You still can't float up there, bro.
I can. Yeah. Not that big.
I mean, it's microgravity, but there's enough of you that...
It let me go.
Things start landing on Doyle.
Why is that circling Doyle?
It let me go, but I'm pretty sure I can float in space. It's like he won't float with us. Just get the fuck up there.
That's funny.
We all float up here.
You know, the scenes when they're in the
I'm
space
fat. You're a piece of shit. It's cool.
Where it's all do-do-do-do-do. Yeah. And like they're doing the corkscrews and stuff. You're just sitting there. I don't float up here. What the fuck?
The bump density is insane. Also, his ass density.
Space lied to me.
Suddenly, you look over at Doyle. He's got a monolith on his forehead.
What's the ape man?
All right, I'm fat. I'm gay. Moving on.
Oh, we love you.
I know. I'm sure.
Well, while you all were talking, I was looking at 1998 to try to find something. And I kind of did. So, Dark City. That was it.
I didn't realize that came in, but I do like that movie a lot.
It has many things I love, like Jennifer Connelly. First and foremost, like, number one, like, of all the famous hot Hollywood women out there, Jennifer Connelly is just, like, the top of the mountain for me. And there were other things in the movie as well.
Kiefer Sutherland, for example.
Kiefer Sutherland playing a crazy mad scientist guy.
He like Kiefer Sutherland. Also used to be very one note back in the day.
Keef.
This is a good departure
He's
for
moved.
Him.
Yeah.
It had just stylistically, it felt a lot like The Matrix. You know, a lot of dark sets, a lot of like CGI buildings moving around. CGI was new at that time, but they still did a good job in making
that
it feel...
That movie has fantastic CGI. All the buildings, like, transforming and shit.
Yeah,
it was... That movie's creepy as fuck, too, when you watch it, honestly.
I don't know. It looked like a bunch of Hellraisers
wandering
around.
Them, like, giving
you
the injections and shit, and, like, changing your... Taking memories. Away your entire life and then giving you different ones every night to experiment on you.
It was philosophical.
It's a fucked up movie.
It's a really good movie.
It's good, though.
Put that on your pop culture classic. Check that one out. That is so worth
it. Maybe that... should be yours.
I've never heard of
I'll
it.
I'll pick it.
That's his pick. I'm writing it down right now.
Rufus Sewell was the main character in it.
I'm going to go on a limit here and say that Juan will not like this movie, though.
Why? It sounds cool.
I'm just...
We just assume
whenever anybody picks anything out, we just assume...
It is very slow.
And they don't, like, at the beginning, you're as unsure of what's going on as the main character because he's just had his memories erased and reimplanted. So you're sort of like, what the fuck?
I like not knowing.
Me too.
That's why I like Origin, because you don't know what the fuck's going on until the end.
It's just after a certain point, you've consumed so much.
I feel like Harry Potter's going to show up.
Fly me off this fucking ship.
Let's go, Malfoy.
It's just so many movies.
He's got a show coming out too now. Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh yeah,
it looks
about Jesus.
Weird.
With he plays in a lot of gangster movies. I can't remember his name though.
About Jesus? Is that what
you
said?
Yeah, he's God, the bad guy, I think, or the guy who plays. I can't remember his name. Yeah, he has fucked up teeth, I think. That's his trademark.
Oh, it's
is it the funny looking guy from Fargo?
It's a guy from Boardwalk Empire. Buscemi.
There you go. Oh. He's got really long hair. He's God. I don't know what else.
And the guy that plays Dupinder in Deadpool is Daniel Radcliffe's bro.
I just saw an article on it this morning, but I didn't dive too far into it. But
That's okay. I want to check that out now. What I was going to say is
miracle workers.
Now, after you consume so much media, you've seen so many movies, so many TV shows, so many books. A lot of stuff becomes predictable, and I kind of longed for the days when I'd watch The Prestige and I wasn't sure what the fuck was going to happen, how it was going to end up. Dark City was one of those – Dark City came, I think, shortly after Matrix. because they were using a lot of the similar special effects techniques in there. And when I was – I had a pretty sheltered childhood as far as movies went. My parents were like, you can watch no PG movies except for the first two Star Wars and the first two Superman. And that was it until I got into high school, and then I was like – making up for last time, and that's been me since. Porno, all the time. Like,
so much porn.
It's like, I'm going to see Leah in a metal bikini, finally, as an age of 30. But, you know, it took a while to get caught up, and because of that, it was kind of fast and furious, the amount of information I was consuming with that. And all of these mindfuck movies, like The Machinist, when that came out, I love not being able to guess really where things are going and let it just kind of take you along. Because after a while, you already know all the beats. You know all the possible twists. After you've seen one Shyamalan movie, you know what's likely to happen.
Shyamalan, you know, ding dong. It's, yeah, it's, disappointment. Look. That's what happens.
Fucking Shyamalan, man. That guy is so weird. But he's made some excellent films, too.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait till Mr. Glass.
I loved it. Now, what's that one with the fucking lawn fairy?
Oh,
she lives in the pool.
Lady in the water.
Lady in the water.
That movie's great.
I really like that movie.
That actually had a jump scare in it from the fucking sprinklers.
It's a fairy tale.
Yeah, like, I like that movie a lot.
It's a good movie.
That movie in the elevator, that was okay.
Hell?
Devil or something?
Devil. That's it, yeah.
Sixth Sense is obviously good.
Sixth Sense, yeah. Oh, Unbreakable is good. Like, his first three were all...
The Happening, I don't know what the fuck happened with The Happening.
I didn't hate it. I think the only movie of his that I don't like...
I don't think it's realistic at all.
Yeah.
Because the show is so good, why the fuck would you try to make a movie out of it?
Also, it just didn't seem up his alley at all. Like, who gave him that movie?
His kid. His kid wanted him to make it, and so he made it.
Fucking Shyamalan. Don't do what your kid wants you to do.
Kids are stupid.
Don't be a good dad.
He wasn't. He made a terrible... His kid probably hated him.
Just tell your kid garbage. To watch the show on Nickelodeon again.
Could you imagine that? Your kid loves a movie, so you make the movie, and the kid's just like, really?
What the
fuck? You really fucked that up, Dad.
You're not my dad.
You just stranger danger your own father.
I'm going to have to go ahead and look into that becoming an emancipated minor thing.
So I don't know if I watched this movie in 1998, but one of my favorite films to come out of 1998 was Blade.
Yeah. See,
that came out in 98?
Yeah. That was
some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate up here.
I know I was really young when I saw it. And for me, you know, I didn't watch...
That pissed me off because I wasn't allowed to go see that movie in theaters. I really wanted to.
Blade was really the first big vampire movie, and it was fucking amazing. It was really good. I have nothing but good things to say about that movie.
I went to see it with my friends in the movie theater.
I tried so hard to see it, and I was denied every time.
At the very beginning, when they're in the club, and then it just starts like raining blood.
Yeah,
I was like, I made the right choice. Like, this is the right choice for the movie I want to see this weekend. Like, it was really cool.
Did Anaconda come out before Blade?
Yeah. No, it came out after Blade, I think.
With Ice Cube? Anaconda?
Yeah.
J-Lo?
I think that
J-Lo in that movie? Awful.
No, I know it wasn't good. I was punished because of it, though. I can't remember if that's why.
Movie's terrible. You're grounded.
I took my movies.
I took my little... casual.
I took my little sister to go... I took my little sister to go see it, and it horrified her, and my mom was like, what the fuck are you doing? She's like, 5.
She can't say anything. It came out the year before.
That's what I was saying, because I couldn't go see Blade, because I took her to see Anaconda. Awesome. And my mom's like, you can't choose the movies. I'm like, no. He's a black vampire. It's before its time.
You don't understand. This is the first true Marvel superhero movie.
Also the first black superhero in a movie.
That I don't think is true.
It's not. It's black, actual black dynamite. It's
probably Pluto Nash.
Pluto Nash was after that.
That was awful.
Oh, I know.
It was amazing. I hope he reprises his role. I know.
So do I.
You don't have to find someone else.
I know 2 and 3 were kind of iffy.
He's all right.
I actually really liked both of them, but I know 2 and 3.
I loved 2. I just thought they just played too heavy with the animation, but I still liked it.
They're good. They're all good.
I hope Blade 4 happens with him, though.
I thought they did a disservice to Dracula in the third one, but...
Yeah, that guy ended up playing Heatwave on DC Legends.
That's what I'm saying.
Even
Even if they just like
probably
just,
was
just cameoed in Blade in the next Infinity War movie. I mean, anything's possible with the fucking glove. Just bring in some of these old guys. Like, look,
I hope they do some of that.
They're like, look, here's
Nicolas
like
Cage as Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Like, here's like $10,000. We only need you for like 2 minutes, and you're going to be in the background.
Dolph Lundgren and Thomas Jane as the Punisher.
Oh,
that would be hysterical.
I know just we're like saying things that can't happen.
John Bernthal's like,
but if Wolverine pops up in this movie,
dude, Ray Stevenson.
If any
like
of the X Men came out in this movie, I would be like, oh my god.
I think they are. I think the X-Men are popping up in this movie.
How are they not?
What I really
goes through still.
What I like another like dream.
I want to see a Cyclops
scene.
Blast just destroy Thanos' ass.
Like another a dream scene that I have is like,
God, dude,
like
Cyclops so
Avengers
bad.
Like getting the shit kicked out of him, and Strange just like dips out, and they're all like, he just keeps doing this. He just keeps leaving us, and then he just comes back, and it's all the Defenders. It's like, look, I rescued them from Netflix.
That'd be pretty awesome.
And Thanos just ends them instantly.
He's just like, bah!
He just snaps and they all die.
Fucking breaks Luke Cage and wraps him around the other ones. You puny humans.
So wait, does anyone remember in the end of Ant-Man, there were a bunch of people when he went back into the Quantum Realm, and it was the Wasp, the previous Wasp, the previous Ant-Man, but was Luis there? Because I'm wondering how he got out. Because I think maybe Luis went back
from the trailer.
No, from the end of the Ant-Man movie.
But I mean, from the trailer how are you assuming he's out? I guess.
Oh yeah, from the trailer of Avengers 3.
So a lot of people are thinking that I've read and watched videos on. A lot of people are thinking that that's actually before he went into the Quantum Realm and not after he escaped it. Because apparently there's some sign, if you zoom in on the top left corner, that has a year date on it or some shit. So I don't know, but they're saying that small part where he's knocking on the door could be actually previous to him going getting lost in the Quantum Realm.
I love the movie speculation that happens from like people mo-capping trailers and
but
stuff.
Who does that?
When fucking Dom
who
did
does that? I literally just said yeah, when doing
I
that.
Only did that. This is the first trailer I did that for, but I loved Dom's post like the day after that trailer dropped. He's like, I'm really glad that Lamp survived. And he's like, I think it was Dom. He like screen captured the one scene with Bruce Banner, and he's got like all the hologram frames up, oh, and there's just like a lamp for no reason in the scene.
Made it through the snap.
Yeah.
I just don't know who has the time to do all that shit, man.
People who make money doing it?
Mail carriers and
you get
comic employees.
What else am I supposed to do, alright?
But 100 million views on fucking YouTube gets you a good amount of money.
Yeah, but I guarantee you there's 100 million other people doing the same shit not making 100 million views on YouTube.
Sure.
And where do they get this time? Why aren't they selling cows?
Everybody should
cow parts.
Should be just murdering cows.
Cow skins.
Bunghole cutters.
Oh,
all right. The voice.
First, the bunghole. I don't remember the voice.
It's a good job. It's a good job. You're going to like it.
Yeah. It's a good job. You're going to like this job.
Our next pop culture classic is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Well, yeah, right? We got to read the 1998s from the internet, dude.
Yeah,
shit.
Dude.
I always forget about the internet.
The 98s, bro. All
right, so Mel's pick from 1998 was also The Big Lebowski. And when I asked Hannah what her pick from 1998 was, she said, I don't know when that was. So just felt like adding that in there.
Jason Wells said The Big Lebowski. Larry G. Campbell said Something About Mary and Rushmore were his favorite movies.
Oh, Rushmore. Really
Rushmore
good.
Came out in 98?
Yeah.
Dude, a lot of good movies came out in 98.
Yeah.
Dude, so did American History X. Like, there's dozens of good movies that came out in 1998.
Michael Kirk said, the best thing in 1998, Ocarina of Time, still one of my favorite video games of all time. I also graduated that year. John Still, Radio Time Show Hour.
The year before I graduated college. Wow, he's old.
Yeah. John Steele's been fucking his cousins for a long, long time now.
A year I had a 5-on-5 orgy at my house.
Wow. Damn.
God damn it. The best.
Dude, just because you're using your hand, it's not a 5-on-5 orgy.
The best thing on TV were Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Stargate SG-1. Google was founded, but for me, it was the release of Baldur's Gate, which implies to me he didn't actually have a 5-on-5 orgy playing playing D&D video games.
Yeah, he's over there watching fucking Buffy and SG-1 beating off with two hands, calling it a 5-on-5 orgy, playing Baldur's Gate.
I was addicted to this game. As a D&D fanatic and Forgotten Realms avid reader, I spent months on my self-built computer playing this game. It helped me to not go out and party my life away and delve into the D&D world of Forgotten Realms.
That was a fun game.
Dude, how have you ever had sex?
Either that, or it was just a weird D&D session gone horribly awry.
I rolled a nat 20 into your ass.
Why are we all fucking each other?
Listening to Dom.
Yeah.
Dumb,
awkward pause.
Dum, dum, dum.
His son.
Oh, his son?
His son was born in 1998.
Oh,
nice.
On
that. Wow.
Could have done better. I don't know.
I feel like you took
never
the,
met him.
You took the easy out, Dom. That's all I'm saying. You took the easy out.
I think it's Sean also said Pokemon Red and Blue.
Oh, nice.
Fucking A, man.
Well, with that said, I think you guys have survived our year-end.
Oh, hold on. Hold on. Timid Werewolf something just now.
This Rob Walker.
Oh, okay. Top comics with Snagglepuss, Exit Stage Left, Planet of the Apes, Visionaries, top movies, Quiet Place, and Black Panther.
Nice.
Quiet Place is a good movie.
There was
a
Black Panther reference.
There it is.
That's all he sent us.
Nice. Well, thank you, Rob, for sending that in. Oh, man, I should have invited you over. I don't know why I didn't
Quiet
think of
place.
That. Anyway, with that said, you guys.
Quiet time.
We've made it through our year-end
Stop
review.
Talking.
We will get back to regular episodes on the next episode, which will come out 2 weeks after you listen to this, which is 2 weeks after we've
this
recorded
come out
this.
Before the end of the year.
When will then be now?
When will then be now?
Wait a minute. Mel chose The Matrix for the 2018 end of year wrap up, but it's not going to happen until 2019.
It's very Matrix.
Meta.
It's a glitch.
Yeah.
If you want to find out more about thinking outside the long box,
did you know you do?
Why are you sounding that all sensual?
Because I'm waiting for these fags to interrupt me.
I want to find out more.
You can visit us at www.totlb.com.
You can't tell if it's making me harder.
You can find us
I
on
still
Instagram.
Feel strangely flaccid.
You can find us on Instagram or Twitter at Outside Long Box. You can find us at facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox. On YouTube at tinyurl.com/TOTLBTube. There's been some cool stuff that Juan has been putting up, especially with
been a lot of fucking YouTube videos going up.
And then we've also started doing our interviews
in more
as separate episodes, which yes. I've been really enjoying too. So if you enjoy the interviews, you can check those out now as special episodes that come up in the same feed as the regular Thinking Outside the Long Box show.
With Legion M. They claim to be, and I don't have anything to refute it, but it's the first fan-owned entertainment company.
Did you interview them again?
No, that was the last one.
That was the last interview.
Was Georgia Fox last interview?
Oh, Jorge Fox was the last interview. You're right. Holy shit. How do you say her name? Georgia?
Georgia.
Is it Georgia? It's spelled J-O-R-G.
It's definitely not Hora.
I said Jorge.
Oh, I thought you said Hora.
He's
like,
Mexican.
Yeah. Fuck.
Jorge.
Well, that was from a Memento.
Yes, that was the last interview.
And we're doing an interview next time. For
felt right.
A gentleman who wrote the book called Regrettable Sidekicks.
Regrettable Sidekicks, which are a ton of fun to read.
If you have a project that you want to talk about on the show with us, you
we
can.
Want to let AC say his projects and what he's doing?
Yeah, we'll now get that there. We'll get there.
Ever since Doyle sneezed in my face, I can't stop thinking about murdering cows. I think I may have contracted something.
And if you want to talk to us about that, you can email us at outsidethelongbox@gmail.com. And of course, we would love for you to call the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline. May his ghost ass rest in peace. We'll see you on the seance episode. 970-573-6148. Leave us a message. You can go to patreon.com/TOTLB to support us, get all sorts of cool stuff and our favorite, least favorite videos. And of course, you can go to TOTLB.com/shop and pick up any of our stuff that's cool that you can buy from us. And of course,
we're going to have a cool hat coming out soon.
Yeah. Make Michael Jackson black again.
The coasters that I just. It's
fucking exclusive as shit, though.
For now.
If somebody buys one, we'll get more.
The tiles will be up there because I bought extra tiles for sale. We still have, I think, one or two sets of the salt shake, salt and pepper shakers, too. So.
Shake it like a salt
shaker. Before we talk about our Patreon supporters, AC, tell everybody where they can find your art and your projects and stuff like that, man.
Hi, my name is AC Canales. You can find me on Facebook under AC Canales or my artist page, Artwork by AC, on Facebook. On Instagram, Argentum_Eternum, spelled like Latin, so AE for both of them. You know, I really should have thought that out better.
Yeah, good luck finding AC on Instagram.
If you go to my Facebook, it will have a link to the Instagram. That's the way to do it.
Just find me and then find AC on Instagram.
My Tim Husky. Things I've got going on. Taking commissions, taking some work. I've got a variant cover coming out for Pilla next year. I'll be getting to do that, which is pretty nice.
For what?
Pilla.
It's the comic.
The comic.
P-I-L-L-A. Pilla.
Yes.
I don't read it, so.
By Raphael Bad Hand Montlevy.
It's one of all the comics you
don't
read.
That's a lie. I don't know what it's about.
That's why maybe some people don't know either. That's why I wanted to explain it.
You know, he had my back on that one. But it's made by wonderful people who just, working on some good stuff. And I also have a solo project that I'm trying to get off the ground. But then I got tendonitis this year, and the last 6 months have been miserable.
Dude.
Finally able to draw again.
Seance on Yelp.
But
sorry.
But I'm a little behind. So, it's a Sir Galahad-based storyline fantasy, but I hear that doesn't sell for shit in comic books, so it might make a nice advertisement or resume builder for down the line. But I'll post stuff. There are a few pages up. I'll post more. So you can find that on Artwork by AC on Facebook.com. I'll fund me.
Tim, why don't you say how to find you, too, so that we know where to find your art?
It's uporn.com/...
Butt plug enthusiast?
No. Slash anymore?
I don't know. My handle is the same thing on everything, Facebook, Instagram. It's aggravated artist. So A-G-R-O-V-A-T-E-D, artist.
I was going to say it's aggravated because it's spelled
wrong. I know, right?
It's part of the conversation piece.
Right.
Aggravated artist on that all of your socials.
Yes, all my socials. Fact, to add to this year's year-end wrap-up, it's been a decade since I coined the name Aggro. So,
nice.
Boom. Golf clap. Because nobody cares.
So let's thank our Patreon supporters, Chad, Ryan, Derek, Doyle, Devin, Taylor, Jason, Steve, Christine, and Michael.
Not Ooh. Tim.
We love we love you guys. Thank you for supporting the show. It's been another great year for Thinking Outside the Long Box. Nice. I can't wait to see what 2019 brings us.
Maybe I'll be a patron. Who knows?
I doubt it.
As soon as Marvel calls him, he'll be able to afford it.
Yeah.
Marvel's not calling.
Marvel's not fucking calling.
Awesome. Well, guys, this has been the year-end wrap-up 2018 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Tim.
I'm Doyle.
I'm AC.
I'm Juan.
See I'm you in AC. 2 weeks.
Bye, bitches.
I'm AC. I'm AC. Drop those panties, girl.
That is way sexier than I do it.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.